Okay, this is board time, Wednesday, 9 July.
Okay, commissioners, as is typical nowadays, the first item on the agenda is a consideration of the minutes from 25 June.
And since Ed read them, we'll let him make that motion.
I would make a motion, Mr. Chairman, we accept the minutes as read or approved or looked at.
I'll second that. As Medora is reading them, I'll second that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's minutes of 2 July. My mistake.
I am curious about one item in there, the fireworks information. It says we talked about it. Is that all we did? Didn't we set some kind of direction forward?
Which one are you referring to?
Fireworks. For instance, there is no mention in here about the software that's being installed, the intention of us using that for the survey or the allow the community to weigh in. Should we include that?
I don't know if we decided on using that survey other than
using
the information that
we
had.
My intent is to use the software when it's available.
Well,
and also John Dunaway is performing a survey of all the folks that had firework permits to sell fireworks, just to get their read on.
Oh, yes? Yes. That's good.
Yep. We also have a list of the nonprofit organizations that rely on that.
Yeah, and John has that list, but there are also for-profit organizations that sell fireworks as well.
Yeah,
so he's going to survey them all, and he'll split it into profit, nonprofit.
I'm still leaning toward, we are the technical, the rural communities, and that we should recognize and honor and standardize with all the incorporated areas.
Well,
to the best of our ability.
I was thinking, rather than us get into the discussion about the fireworks, just to make sure that their minutes were up to date in including what we needed to.
Well, make a motion to amend the minutes and give me the language you'd like to see.
We'll get to that if necessary. I just thought I'd discuss it a little bit first to see whether or not we ought to mention that the software we are counting on at this point, that the software being an important tool for us to use. And weren't we going to look to see about the time frame on that? Because
It's not going to be 90 days. It's going to be considerably quicker. I'd say less than 45.
Oh, good.
Then I would think we're not going to hold you to it.
Thank you.
Well, then why don't I'll make a motion here to amend our minutes under the fireworks information to include the note that staff is preparing to provide software for customer or for citizens to weigh in on the fireworks issue.
Could I ask David if you can also add into that on this website that the citizens will have an opportunity to see what the results of those surveys are.
That'd be great. And I would.
Oh, that.
That's already does that,
the,
right?
The software is real time, so as people interact,
it'll add it up.
The people can see the results.
Okay. All right, I'm good with that.
And okay, so are you making note of that, or should I write it down here?
It's on here. And
okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. So
now, actually, I like the video audio. That's terrific. Save me from writing it.
So I would second David's amendment to the motion to accept the minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
So we add it. Now we're going to make a vote on as amended?
Yeah. No, we're going to vote on that amendment.
Yeah. We'll vote on the amendment and then we'll vote on the whole thing.
Okay, we'll vote on the amendment. Aye.
Aye. Okay, all right. So.
Now as amended.
Wait, no. Like discussion. I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I want to make sure.
Good.
If all we do is talk about it, it doesn't go anywhere.
Well,
I want to make sure we act and we're moving the ball down the road on this issue.
Okay.
And
I have a question.
Yes?
Because you keep going down this road and you're walking yourself into a corner. And what you're going to do is that, just like the advisory vote, it's an advisory, and it's, I understand, but we honor that because the people voted. So is not my intent to be more restrictive than the city of Vancouver or the city of Lacinner or Battleground. So as we go forward and put this out for the people, is it going to be purpose of information? Or suppose if people come back and say, we don't want fireworks at all, so we're going to honor that request and shut down fireworks for everything outside the incorporated areas and still allow the incorporated right. areas to sell fireworks? And
all we're committing to here is to have a process that ensures that we can hear, that this will end up with a hearing, that then we'll deliberate and consider all of the feedback we got from our citizens.
I feel a cold coming on for that hearing.
Well, Commissioner Mielke, if you remember last night when you and I were walking out of the CCRAN board meeting down at the library, we had a couple individuals basically say that the commissioners are trying to kick the fireworks underneath the table, that nothing's going to happen with it. And so Tom tried to explain to him, and I tried to explain to him the process that we're going through right now, the discussion that we're going on, and they wanted to know if it's going to be put up on the website, Mark, so the public will know just exactly what's going on with the whole process, and I think that's what David's getting at.
Yeah. You know what? I like how you think in that. You're a get-it-done guy here. That's good.
Before we do this, the advisory vote was countywide. Every citizen in the county was allowed to vote on that advisory vote, to include the people inside the various incorporated areas, City of Camas, Ridgefield, Battleground, etc. If you look at this map, the bulk of the blue, which voted to restrict fireworks, are in incorporated areas. The majority of the folks who don't want restrictions are in the rural areas.
I just have to.
So if we go to the public with this peak democracy product and say, what do you think? If these people are the ones who get on that product and give us their opinion, then obviously they're going to want restrictions.
And you know, I think they're under the assumption that if we make the call, that there won't be fireworks in Vancouver.
And that's a separate jurisdiction, and they've got
right.
their own. They've
yeah,
got their
so
own limits.
They're under the assumption that the county will make this, and they'll all shut down. Not true. So.
Right. So when we go out to the public with this product, we're going to have to set parameters and make sure that we get the right population responding to the survey.
Well, as best we can.
Right.
We'll have to ask them where do you live, but there's no way we can.
I know in my emails, the emails I get, majority of them are from the city of Vancouver and Hazeldale. Populated areas.
We got into a conversation about fireworks. All I was trying to do is update the minutes, and we still got a motion on the table.
I'll call for the question on the amended motion.
I'll call for the question.
So we can
vote. So now we're going to accept the minutes of the last meeting as amended.
I do it. Okay. I vote yes.
Aye. Anything else?
Well, certainly we have. Okay, I'll settle with just simply adding that. I want to make sure that we are making progress each opportunity we have to move the ball down the road to get through this process. So we're waiting for. So we just approved that, and the fireworks is not on the agenda here. But since this is a
It was part of the previous minutes that you questioned.
Okay, so that is there. The question is, at this meeting, we got an update. Yep, software is a coming, but there's other stuff. Suppose we had the software today. They would provide the survey, but that's just simply feedback. There's more processes that needs to happen. We'd have to, I guess it's pretty straightforward. You got two basic parameters. You got the number of days A, the number of days B, selling and setting off, right?
You know, it might be helpful.
What's that?
Since I have these discussions with John Dunaway, is if in this new survey you actually said currently Clark County allows the discharge of fireworks X number of days.
Under the state law.
Under current
county
code.
Yeah.
Cities have X, Y, and Z. Would you want to amend the counties? Because the good point is that some people say, well, if the county curtails, then it'll affect me, and they might be in Camas or Battleground or Vancouver. So to show folks that, well, the county currently has these number of days, other cities have these number of days, and would you be in favor of, because I think the county is the most number of days.
Well,
for discharge.
I think there's several of them that are...
Would they want to go less, more, the same as the cities? Because
yeah,
you got to put it in context with the cities, because a lot of people...
Yeah.
And they might think, oh, I'm in the city of Vancouver, when in fact they're two blocks from city limits.
Yeah, so when that survey comes up, that... What do you call it? What's it called? Democracy Works or something?
Peak Democracy.
Yeah, Peak Democracy is the company.
They'll come up with the wording, but title. We can then feed them into the insight that
well,
they want to make sure that this doesn't control cities.
Right,
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So they get the right. And, yes, that's really good
to compare so people know. It's like, well, Clark County is 7 days, and I'm in Vancouver, and it's 3 or 4.
It sounds like, you know, rather than go directly to a hearing on this thing, we ought to maybe have a more informal work session that include John Dunaway and invite the participation of the other organizations that participated in this, sheriff, those kind of things. Is that how to move the ball down the road?
No, I'm looking at the board chair over there. I'm open to whatever the board would like to do on this, but I don't want to
complicate it when we have so little control over it. And so I think that we could respond by this survey, which would represent more people than what you would have inside the work session.
Well, we have full control over it. And the survey is one important piece of information that comes from the citizens. But we got the sheriff's office and our...
I don't want to sit for 4 hours and have someone tell me I don't want fireworks that bothers my dogs.
Well, that's what you're going to get when you get the public hearing. Unavoidable. I'm thinking for a work session.
We understand. We know fireworks bothers pets. I don't need to have someone tell me for 4 hours it bothers pets. And that's the reason I have better use of my time than that. And I think that we should take the information and analyze it and then consult the sheriff and the fire marshal and to respond. I think the fire marshal is going to say he has a... he's not going to share anything more that we don't already know, I believe, is that he has trouble enforcing. He doesn't have the manpower to enforce. The sheriff is going to tell the same thing. I don't have the manpower to enforce. So, you're expecting something different from them?
Well, the enforcement, whether or not it is independent of the number of days, idea is to, in fact, maybe we can simplify it, because I like simplifying. I don't want to complicate it either.
Standardize.
What's that?
Standardize.
Well, I'm thinking of the process. For instance, the work session would be an opportunity that we can say that's where we're going to hear from the sellers and sheriff and fire marshal and whoever else would be appropriate when it comes to the administration or being directly impacted by that process. And that would we would factor into that whatever survey we get, results we get from the citizens. And then we can follow that up with a public hearing, and there we're going to hear about how, you know, the dog that bothers my pets kind of a thing. I'm just thinking process.
You know what I'm hearing is kind of bifurcating the issue to say
like that
that the survey, you know, what people care about is how long are fireworks going to be discharged, and that's where you're going to get the survey results.
Mm-hmm.
The people who sell. Profits and not-for-profits, they care about how long you sell. So you could have a work session on, hey, should we sell for 10 days, a week, 5 days, and it's a controlled audience or issue? Then with the survey, you ask people, how long do you want them to fire off the fireworks? And you have that those two bits of information going into any hearing that you would have down the road.
Well, I'm thinking that the survey, that's a good feedback, but I'm thinking the survey would allow both of those questions
sure.
to be answered.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we had asked two different questions in the election, how many for each of those, then we have pretty, I mean, you can't get better response than having a countywide election. That would separate it. The problem is that we didn't. It was combined. So we have to separate that out and find out what do the people really want.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do that in a survey. But
yes.
I think the survey is going to get you're going to get the
yes.
best information on what people, do they want 3 days of blown off fireworks or 6 days of blown off fireworks?
So let me ask a question then.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with standardizing with the incorporated areas. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that we should further restrict more than what the incorporated areas are doing?
Oh, I'm not advocating for any position at this point.
Well,
I'm just looking for a process.
I'll tell you why. Economically, the selling time should be the same. Or if I close down the county, everybody goes in the city and buys. If I close down the county and the city, they go to the reservation to buy. So it only makes sense that you try to standardize with our community, which I think has 5 days of purchase and 1 day of setting them off. I hear that. I understand that. And economically, financially, it makes more sense. It addresses the issue of setting them off too much. And I don't know what else we can do other than that.
Well, I think that, Tom, I think that chart that Axel furnishes that gives every city,
right.
yes.
it gives that whole thing from the 28th until the 4th. And then it also shows a couple cities that have fireworks that they shoot off after the 4th for a day.
New Year's,
and that. And that's good information. But I think the survey, once you take the survey, like Marty says, you get the survey and get the facts and figures there, then you can call the people together, like you're talking about, Dave, and say, here's the results of this survey. What do you folks think about the results? And have them tell us how they feel about the feedback that's come back. Even though you don't have to agree with it, Tom, we don't have to agree with it, but at least the people that are serving the public, the safety people, are getting the information that we've gathered, and we're letting them know that,
that
here it is.
Okay.
Doesn't that program share back with the people?
It does, yes.
So we don't have to have the people come here.
They
get that right
away. But I mean,
away.
He's talking about the police, the fire, the transport.
Nonprofits
that you deal with, I think. And one of the things that concerns me is, if you look at that list that I counted up, the amount of TNT, and I counted up the different ones, there's one group of people, even though there's individual fireworks stands out there that have different names on it, one company controls 13 different fireworks stands. There's another company that controls 5 different fireworks stands. There's another one that controls two or three. One controls one fireworks stand. It's all different corporations that control the fireworks, but they let somebody use that as an avenue for a nonprofit to raise money. Look at that list. I mean, it's in there. It's got everyone on the list.
What does that have to do with the decision we're going to make? Person or 25 people?
Well, it doesn't have anything to basically, but what I'm saying is there's some people have a bigger vested interest, Tom, in making sure that the fireworks are sold for 50 days. I would fire them off every day if I could, but I know it's
not. We had that work session.
Yeah.
We had a work session, and the guys that sell up say, hey, man, don't cut me back. I'll take 50 days, just like you said.
Well, I'm not saying cut them back. All I'm saying we need to furnish the information that we have to the people that are the people that the public that we hire to be the safety people are going to go out there and enforce the law, which they don't have enough people. Maybe we're going to have to figure out, tell these fireworks people, you're going to have to throw a little money in the pot, 10% of your money coming off that fireworks stand, the TNT needs to go to pay for sheriffs to go out there and patrol, to pay for fire. When Senator Benton is looking for an avenue for money, we should be looking for an avenue for money to help pay for the enforcement and the fire protection the same way. You know, they're the ones that sell the fireworks. People buy them. So.
I don't think any of it's had to do with raising fees or raising taxes up to this point. It really has to do with just simply changing the numbers of days for your sale. And then we could, you know, anytime you have an ordinance change, you can have any, welcome any conversation. Because this is an ordinance change, there's only one process to change it, and that is we have to have a public hearing on it. And so a public hearing says, we welcome every citizen who wants to come up and speak as many citizens as they want to weigh in on it.
If we do that, we don't need a survey.
Well, I'm very aware that when we have a public hearing here, that the number of people in that room is not an election. We have people that are out working in at the job, and they're going to school, they're raising their families, and they can't be here. And I don't want them to have to be here. If we allow them a very convenient way to weigh in at their convenience and inform us and welcome their voice, I don't know of a better way than that, unless you put it back out to a vote and split it. That's kind of impractical. So that is just one more way to inform us, the citizens in our community, so we know what they like, what they want, what they don't.
Well, I like the idea that.
Yeah. Now, just a point to consider: 89,000 people voted for this advisory vote. If you add those two numbers, you get about 89,000. If we do the survey, it's doubtful that we'll get 89,000 people commenting.
We're lucky to get 20 or 30.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more like between 1,000 and 1,500.
I think you're right.
But
I would say 10 or 11.
Probably. Oh, really?
I'd say 10 or 11,000.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We could put the numbers in a
bunch of lunch.
All over
a bunch of lunch. Yeah.
Well, I guess we come back to this advisory vote. People say expect you to do what the survey says.
That's the reason you just made my argument for that.
Well, the advisory vote said to restrict the number of days to 3.
So therefore, we're not going to have a
for discharge,
railroad.
Right?
Yeah. No, well, for selling.
But what's
for sale and discharge? Yeah.
The average person probably doesn't care when they're sold. They probably care when they're fired.
Yes,
that's true.
And that's
so that's probably how they answered the question.
That's the dilemma.
So I come back to the same question again. Would we be more restrictive than our incorporated areas?
Well, Vancouver has 3 days.
Never
Vancouver has what? 2, 3, 4. July 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3 days.
Yeah.
Who's that? And
Vancouver.
One day of
fire. For
sale.
Sale. Sale.
Discharge,
no.
Too.
No, discharge is one.
Discharge.
Yeah. Discharge
is one.
Discharge is a fourth only.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And if you look at it, I think that everybody else has 5 days of sale and one day
okay.
of settlement.
Well, so the question for the path forward has to do with we can't do anything unless we have a hearing. A hearing is essential or nothing happens. So if we go to a hearing, we can make an assumption, and we're going to have to make assumptions, that the main thing that impacts people is the sale. Is the setting them off, and that we're not going to restrict the sale less than it is. We could make that assumption, but our decisions are only as good as the information they're based on. If we allow the people to have two separate questions, say, I understand it's logical to assume that if you got one question and then a question includes restricting the setting off date to one, and whatever else comes with it is just, you know, part of the baggage. And they might think, well, I wish you had separated it out because I don't care about when you sell it. I like business. I like raising nonprofit money. We didn't give them that choice. So we, at this point, it really has to do with what process do we follow. If there's anything ahead of the hearing, is there a work session? Is there anything else? is there a survey, or we just go to directly to a hearing?
So let me ask another question. Survey comes back in the unincorporated area of Clark County.
Actually, we can't tell that from the survey, really, unless
they
volunteer.
We're going to ask them.
We can ask them, but it's like voting.
So the survey comes back, and they said, we don't want fireworks at all.
Well, we won't give them that choice.
Well, you have to. You're asking them.
The choice really has to do with
if you're not
we put
do,
the boundaries
if you're not going to do as they say, then you need to make a decision with the best information that we already have.
Yeah.
So, and that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you prepared to do whatever that says? Suppose it comes back and the survey says, I think we should sell for 10 days and set them off for 5. Are you prepared to do that if that's what the majority of the people want to do? I'm not. Nor am I prepared to shut off in the incorporated areas fireworks. So therefore, the information that I have before me is the best balance, and that is to say we're going to standardize with all the incorporated areas, and therefore we would have to act as a countywide to include incorporated areas, asking City of Ridgefield, the Center, Battleground, Vancouver to standardize with us.
Well, they're all different.
This is the chart that was handed out about a week ago. Mm-hmm. So the cities south, so you're talking Vancouver, Camas, Washougal, are all on the same day, the 4th. The other cities are from the 29th through the 4th.
For
discharge.
Discharge.
Yeah, so if we, split the baby, so to speak, we would look at discharging 2, 3, 4. Because the other cities are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days of discharge, and the cities on the Columbia River are 1 day. So, do you go 1 day, or you go 6 days, or do you kind of go somewhere in between the middle?
I think we have to be somewhere no less than our other communities. If we are, we take away from those nonprofit organizations.
This is the discharge, so this is when you let them off. The sales times...
It's also there.
...run from the 28th through the 5th, and then Vancouver is, again, 2, 3, 4.
But it essentially 4. Doesn't work for nonprofits. We already know that.
For sale, yeah, I think they need a week. Yeah. They need 7 days.
7 days or five? What do we have today? We have 5 days.
7 and 7.
28.
Oh, we have seven sales.
28 through the 4th.
7 days.
Three in June, 4 in July.
Yep. So, I always thought 7 and 3 would be a good set of dates.
If we really want to do what's in the best interest of the majority of the voters,
however we want to proceed,
that maybe we should ask the cities. Now, Battleground told me they were not interested in addressing it. So they're not interested at all. So maybe we should look at the other communities. I know I wouldn't want to be more restrictive than Battleground. And so I would want to go to the Battleground again and say, if the majority of the people want change, are you willing to change? That's a good question to ask them. We could ask that of all of our communities.
We already are more restrictive than Battleground because Battleground lets you shoot them off on the 5th, and we don't. So they've got...
Well, the day after.
28 June through the 5th, 5 July. So we're more restrictive than Battleground
plus
and Ridgefield.
New Year's.
Pardon?
Plus New Year's.
Plus New Year's. Yeah. So we're already more restrictive.
New Year's.
Well, the question in front of us is, do we go to hearing to change our county policy, our unincorporated policy, or do we do something ahead of that, like a survey, a work session, anything else?
Well,
or do we do nothing? What do you think?
Let me ask the chairman a question then. The purpose of the survey is to find out what the citizens would like to see.
Uh-huh.
I would say do the survey. Once you get the survey, then I think then you would react to what Tom's talking about. What's without the survey, you don't know from sicken what anybody wants other than what's going on right now. So I would say do the survey, come in here, take it to the commissioners, sit down here with staff, review the results of it, then you can determine whether you want to put it in the trash can in a shredder, whether you want to take it out to a vote, whether you want to go to a public hearing with it, David, whatever you want to do. But without the results of a survey, you know, you're wasting your time. We might as well just forget it and do with what's going on right now, not do anything right. different. But that's not what the public says. And the people, like the couple there the other night, last night, said you guys are throwing it underneath the table. You have no intention of doing anything.
And of course, the people saying that lived in Vancouver.
No, they don't live in they live in Battleground, both of them.
Still, city limits beyond our control, right?
Out of our control.
Yeah, that's their policy, not ours. We don't control that.
I know that.
So the survey.
But I get your point, and it is that we put an advisory vote on there. People have voted on it. Elections make a difference. We should pay attention. We need to respond, which includes a hearing and making a decision and arriving at the sale and the discharge times.
Once you get the results.
Hey, I have another example, idea. We can divide those out by precinct. We can divide that advisory vote out by precinct and see how that comes out by precinct. And then use that for our advisory vote and be very, very clear that we can only control the unincorporated areas.
Well, we already have that.
The majority of the response that I get is from the response from the newspapers and what they read in the newspapers is that Clark County is going to address this. They think that we control all the incorporated areas, and we don't. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the decision we make would only be in those. So then we have to go back and divide up by precinct, by make sure that we're all outside the cities.
We already have two buttons on there. One shows unincorporated areas only.
Okay.
And the other one shows everything. So we already have that ability. So there you go.
Okay, so.
So some of that is Hazeldale.
Yeah.
I need that's the number down there, right?
27,000. And four people said limit the use to July 4th and limit the sale to 234, just like City of Vancouver. 19,761 said don't. So there's a
majority
$8,000 or $8,000
voters. Different.
Yeah, 8,000 voters more wanted restrictions than didn't. But you can see the separation. You've got the North County rural, and then you've got the unincorporated, more urbanized.
Larger geographic area, but population.
There must be a red line around my house there.
By population, I would recognize for more restrictions than what we are today.
I'm in the county.
Based on only what we can control.
Yep. Now, if you look at the cities,
we know that
The cities were all blue.
Yeah. So rightfully so. So then I would say that we need to restrict it more. How much more?
Well, the question is, what process do you want to follow to go forward?
No, the advisory vote asked, do you want restricted?
I mean, do you want a public hearing? I mean, you have to.
But it wasn't a general question. It didn't ask, do you want it restricted? It actually said specific dates.
Binding issues.
Yeah.
July 4th only.
Yeah, got that.
So
we got that. The problem is there were two things mixed together, didn't separate them out. Got that. The question is not what do we do, how do we vote. Question is, what's the next step to address this? And an obvious next step, or an obvious eventual step, is a public hearing. And let's start there for a minute. Regardless of what happens in front of that, whether it be a survey, work sessions, whatever, do we agree that we should address this? We should take it to a public hearing and make a decision on this ordinance?
So we only represent the people in the county.
Yeah.
I get what Tom's saying. We only represent the people in the county. The survey, then, we only contact the people that are county residents and don't do anything with the city residents. They've already made their choice.
Mm-hmm.
The survey doesn't allow us to do that, except
somebody else has to answer to the people in the incorporated area.
Here's the problem with that. A survey.
Saying that's what Tom.
I know that we would like to be able to do that, but anybody can say, I'm in the city limits, but I'm going to vote in this thing anyway. They're going to ask me, no, I'm not. I'm going to say I'm in this. I'm in the unincorporated area. So there's really not a real good method for us to be able to sort out where are they from.
That's the best we can get.
Well, if we ask for name and address, we can bounce names and addresses against the GIS database to verify.
To qualify?
Yeah.
To verify whether they're in or out.
Just put a question that says, wouldn't the county do that?
Well, that's the problem. If you just put a question, it's like saying, okay, women, are you above or below 40 years old?
Are you Republican or Democrat? Are you voting in primary or general?
But if they give us their address, we can find that out.
So I think what we're saying, regardless of how that turns out, or regardless of what the questions are, There is a way that you can ask questions, kind of double check it if you want to kind of verify things. I get that. The question is, what do you want to do, Mr. Chairman? Do you want to be able to have a survey? Do you want to have a work session? Or you just want to go to a hearing? And I'm open.
If we change ordinance, we have to have a hearing.
Yes. I don't believe that piece is optional.
Yeah.
That piece is not optional.
And anything you do won't affect next year's season.
Yeah, we're talking 2016.
Talking 16.
Because we missed the deadline for affecting next year.
I thought we missed the deadline for this year.
No, sir. It's next year.
During
the work session, we made that clear that if we fail to act today, we're pushing this out another year.
So I thought it was for this year.
No,
sir.
Mm-mm. We discussed that the last.
Well, boy, the people should be excited about this, aren't
they? They are.
No, they were excited about this year.
Well, but they're excited too that we're now not making a change until 2016.
But if they know something's coming, then they'll like maybe be a
you know the good thing. Yeah, that's true. You may change. So the verbiage again on the advisory vote was: do you want to make it more restrictive?
Two specific dates.
Should
Clark County enact a local ordinance consistent with state law which would limit the use of fireworks in the unincorporated areas of Clark County to July 4th of every year and limit the sale of fireworks in the same area to July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th?
It's a single option.
It's pretty precise. The flaw is that you're asking two questions, mm-hmm. and you can only say yes or no once.
So...
because some people might say, well, yes to both. So then they vote yes. Some people might say, well, yes to A, no to B. Well, how did they vote?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
So on this incident here, at your public hearing, you have people come up and give their name and their address to testify.
And then I go, and I say, you're in the city limits. Bye.
That's the only way you can do it.
Sorry?
That's the only way you can do it. That's the right way to do it, so your vote is not skewed, or your remarks are not skewed.
Right, because this is an area-specific vote, so only the people affected by it should testify.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Commissioner Barnes, the city limits are in the middle of the street in front of his house.
I'm in the county.
You're in the unincorporated area, right?
Yeah.
So the people on the other side of the street have as much interest in the outcome as you do. Because they're as close to
they fire off more fireworks.
No, I don't
fire off though.
So you're a hybrid commissioner.
So
I still think we need to do the survey.
We got plenty of time. It doesn't hurt to collect more information.
Well, the path forward can only be taken if we define it. So the question is, Mr. Chairman, how would you like to proceed? And you name it. I'm good.
See, will I still be here in 2015?
You're here. Yeah, you are.
Maybe you're I here. Can kick this can down the road.
You're here until December 31st, 2016.
Any survey that we should do, I think we need to be clear as we move forward that we only affect the unincorporated area.
I think you're right. I would agree.
That has to be made very, very clear because I think people are under... looking at my email, it's full of people living in the city. And we have no say over that. So mm-hmm. I'm open to the survey.
Okay.
To be more distinct.
Okay.
Because if we restrict the sale in the unincorporated areas, we hurt nonprofit and change nothing for the setting off of fireworks. We just restricted the income for the nonprofits that count on that for their income.
Put something in the software there that if they show up at the city address, it automatically switches to the city website. It switches them to the city website.
That'd be good. I should do that with my email. Yeah. Okay, yep. What do you think, Mr. Medora? Plan?
More inputs, more better. So, if in other words,
surveys a go.
If you like the survey, I'm good with the survey. If you don't want the survey, then we basically do a regular hearing.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
So you like a hearing? I mean, you like the survey.
Well, I think I need more direction from the unincorporated areas. Whether they wanted.
Okay.
It says there. It does say there.
Yep.
1 day of setting them off, and 3 days to purchase. So the survey would be more specific.
Yes.
I would like more specific.
They would answer each question separately.
Mm-hmm.
And we could even ask them for a range, not a specific proposal. We could say
1 to 7 days.
Yeah. Currently, we, you know, here are all the fire the discharge times and the sale times for the unincorporated areas and the cities. The question that we're trying to get to is, would you like in the unincorporated areas to restrict the sale period and the discharge period? And if so, to what period would you...
When do we have to take action?
Before the end of June.
Next year.
Next year for any change in 16.
Wow.
There's always a one-year lag.
Hmm.
Okay. And that's to give the community time to react.
The fireworks people, because they have
that's what you want.
Inventory.
Is that what you want?
I'm flexible.
Okay. Reasonable?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so the survey's a go.
Survey in the unincorporated.
Okay.
But until we're looking for specificity. Yeah, that's the word. For better guidance. Because if we restrict the sale time, it doesn't change anything other than hurt those nonprofits in the unincorporated areas.
So the question, there'll be two questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're good.
Better direction.
So, great. You let us know when that comes up.
Oh, yes. Better. Yes. Okay, you know, I'll keep you posted on progress of procuring the software and then progress on the survey.
We didn't add our East County Bridge in here.
Oh, this is the one.
Oh, replace that one?
Yeah, okay. The one that you should have. But see, Anna wasn't here, right? So
right.
It went to Anna's box, and Anna wasn't here to hand it to you, and you didn't grab it out of Anna's box. So we did fix that.
Oh. Oh, well, that and the East County Bridge.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't know about these kind of groups. Nobody talked to me about
that. Okay, you tell me where you want me inserted.
Okay. All right, well, Marty's been patiently...
Hi, Marty.
No, it's good to have...
Firewood was Marty.
No, it's good to listen because John will be...
Yeah, it was good that you were here since fireworks.
Well, we want John's input and the sheriff's.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a hearing scheduled for next week, and it's a nuisance ordinance
amendment. Actually, I'm sorry. That conversation extends this other one just a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
I think we all want to hear from the sheriff's office on enforcement for the fireworks, and we want to hear from John Dunaway, mm-hmm. our fire marshal, for that. And so the question is, how's the best way to get their feedback?
Can I propose that once the survey is closed and we stop taking input and the results are collated, we have a work session to discuss those results, and we invite all the stakeholders to hear the results and give them a chance to testify.
That works for me.
Okay, we're good.
That's a good That's a good path forward.
We have a path forward.
That's a very good path forward.
Ka-ching.
Okay.
Okay, now move on, sir.
Now, what was you here for, Marty?
Yeah, for...
Yeah.
Is this inoperable
boats?
Yeah,
be careful what you say. You'll lead a whole do...
Yeah, some people like to park boats in their front yard.
This actually, other than, I think, Commissioner Barnes, the two of you have seen this, and forgive the... the time that we last visited this issue to the time this is
long
going
time.
To hearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're amending our nuisance code to address, we currently have something to do with inoperable vehicles, cars, you know, junk cars and whatnot. We don't have anything on the books regarding boats that are have massive holes in them and things like that. Mm-hmm. So this amendment addresses inoperable boats as well as vehicles.
In neighborhoods?
In neighborhoods, yeah. And we also touched a little bit on, Commissioners Mador and Milky may remember this too, is that it also has to do with personal watercraft, so jet skis and those kinds of things. You can have some number of them in your front yard, but and there's some restriction to that. In the back and the side, there's a little bit more latitude. So this is coming to the board on Tuesday, and I just didn't want to hit you because it's been a while since we had a work session on this.
Can we find that date and see if and we can look it up on the grid,
mm-hmm.
and refresh that audio conversation?
It was when was last spring.
Was it?
So
it
you
was
just sometime let us know when that was. Well,
it was
just,
sometime
you can
in
find 2013. Let's say
yeah.
boats.
Yeah.
Marty,
you said on Facebook there was a whiz that I couldn't find any.
We'll have a short presentation.
And cover
Yes.
Control F.
And Chris Horn was
that
the attorney we worked with on this.
You want to do Control F on this?
This comes from neighborhood issues that we've
just
been dealing with for
I
quite
did,
a while.
I did Control F.
You did?
Not much
nothing happened?
I think it was May of last year.
They were going to fix that.
I think there's some problem with it.
We don't have anything to enforce until we get something on the books.
It works on every other website.
For inoperable boats.
In fact, it works on my website.
It may be the iPad.
Parking
their
car haulers in the neighborhood.
You'll find it.
Mm-hmm. In the houses, and they're unloading the cars.
That can be a problem if they're not licensed with this. I think they have to get something from Washington State Patrol on whole calling.
What about paying taxes and stuff for they're unloading some of them or taking them down the garage or repairing them? And
those will come in sometimes through a code enforcement complaint that somebody's doing something out of their home.
Marty, what was your question?
Not quite.
What was your question?
What was my question?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a question.
When you brought this up.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure that you were, because it's been a while,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming to you next week, I wanted to give you.
Do they each have a copy of this?
We will have it to them.
So
he's going to do a summary.
We'll do a presentation
and explain to it what it is.
Okay. We'll do
during the hearing.
Yeah, staff report on this is what this is.
And any want to read ahead?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make sure read ahead.
Make sure that it says 2014, not 2012 on the ordinance number. That's the one thing I can make it change to.
Okay, thank you, Marty.
All right, that's it. Unless you had anything else for me.
And Mark's going to give us a link to the grid that'll recall that work session for us that we recorded.
Now, that was a work session?
It was a work session. And we had the sheriff's office there as well.
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we had some things that we wanted to do and we didn't want to do
right.
in that conversation.
Right.
August 5th board hearing?
Yes. That's the date of the primary election, and the elections department is asked to use the hearing room in the evening.
Yes.
And I think Tina might have had a conversation with you about this, and Rebecca has already drafted up a special notice to go out into our legal paper of record just to notify the public that it's a 10 o'clock hearing.
10 o'clock instead of 6.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted the board to validate that.
Yes. I move that we move the August 5th meeting from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m.
I agree.
Second.
That's a third. Okay.
So we have a second and a third. Do we need to vote?
I second it.
Okay. I guess we got that done. That's a unanimous vote. Okay.
Hoof rod resolution.
All right. Axel is,
if
as
it's
you
the same
noticed,
as I read, I like it.
He's not here.
Where is he?
He's at the City of Vancouver. They are evaluating the request for proposal submissions from the two companies that submitted proposals for the ambulance contract.
Oh, great. That's a really good process.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got all the stakeholders there. Okay, so this is a rather lengthy document. I think Axel set a record for whereases. Although the integrity
oh, I don't know.
The integrity resolution might still hold that record.
Yeah, I think I still yeah. have to come up.
So I think David added
if
to
that's
that
the original draft, I read it and okayed it and turned mine back into Axel. I'm good with it.
Whoa, you're way ahead. How do you do that?
Hey.
So no need to read this now and opine on it, but if you would please take some time over the coming days to do so.
Okay, read and return.
Yeah, with edits or
read, edit, return.
When will this get on the agenda for a vote on it at a commission?
As soon as it's ready for prime time.
Okay. How about read, edit, return by Friday?
Okay. Well, we have to notice it. It has to be on the agenda and noticed by tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, by today.
By tomorrow afternoon.
But I mean, okay. You want this?
I'll read it.
Okay, by tomorrow afternoon.
You read.
Okay.
I'll read it and give it back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know you're a fast reader, so if we get you out of here by
you
can quarter to
okay.
five,
you can
well,
read that
by
cover the marijuana letter.
Which was, this has to do with the
it's the hoof rot.
Hoof rot. Oh, sure. And this is a resolution to exert our influence. You've got to check
on
if we had any jurisdiction on anything, like
no, we don't.
Licensing,
we don't.
Permits, nothing. You sure?
No, we cannot regulate herbicides because they're controlled by the state, and the state
okay.
preempts.
Okay, I don't know until I ask the question. Okay, so all we got is influence. We're going to use it.
That's right.
Okay.
Marijuana letter.
Okay, this responds to guidance from the board. They approved a license application, and we sent a letter objecting to it, and the board said they ignored our arguments.
Go back to them,
and so this is a draft.
Well, they didn't answer all of our questions.
Right.
Okay. So read, edit, so
yeah,
return.
Read, edit, and if you have comments, it's a pretty direct and blunt communication, which I believe is appropriate in this case.
I assume if you don't hear from us, you've got the blanket green light to send it as is. If you hear from any one of us, then you can incorporate
every
our feedback.
Every way to do it.
That sound good?
Okay.
You'll hear by us by...
By when?
I'm not here Friday, so...
You'll hear from me today.
Okay, excellent.
Me too.
Okay. And then not on the agenda here, and I apologize for it not being there, but this is Axel's work again. He's been a busy young fellow, yep. This is a follow-up letter to Stordahl regarding...
Where's the bullet points? We have some for simple bullet points.
Dust control.
Remember that?
I don't remember the simple bullet point.
It's a very good letter. I read it.
You did it?
Give him some suggestions to put in it.
Okay, well, I haven't read it, so I'll give him the credit. And
I hope this is the second draft. First draft I had issues with.
I think it is. Pardon? I think it is the second draft.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll get that. Same. I guess it's on through all three of these letters. Blanket green light unless we give you feedback that'll say, I've got a reservation, we got to suggest this edit.
So I have a problem here. It says trucks leaving quarry need to be equipped with tarps, and the tarps must be cover the load. The ordinance says half inch minus or less.
That just has 5/8.
Oh, wait, is up here.
5/8 minus.
5/8 minus. And sand. Okay, I'm with you.
That's probably out of the
conditions. I jumped into the
middle. That's probably the conditional use permit.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Related to that, following up from our hearing yesterday, the enforcement of the hauling trucks... we had both policy. We did the map yesterday. We did not do the policy or the enforcement of the other conditions when it comes to the quarry. This is one thing that is moving in that direction. But is there a path forward for policy?
Yes, Oliver actually spelled that out during the hearing yesterday. Yeah. He enumerated the steps.
We just don't have a schedule yet.
I don't think there was a schedule.
No,
announced.
I don't think he had dates.
I'm interested in that because that's where I step in.
Yeah. Yeah. And did we include on the grid, like we said, we were going to the link that takes people to the information page because there's a whole.
Yeah, there's a web page on service planning.
Yeah, there is. We said during our hearing that we would include that on the grid. There'd be a link to it for that right there by the service mining decision.
I'll take a close look at that.
Okay.
I don't believe so, currently.
This is video, so it would be in here. It would be right next to...
Yeah, it should be down here.
Should be right down there. Link to, yep. In fact, there's no... Where's the document? There's nothing there. There's no link at all.
Oh, this still has in here the part that I had real issues with, and that is a wash rack.
You had issues?
Yes. I mean, you can't mandate that he put a wash rack up there to wash his truck.
I think that's a suggestion.
Is it clear that it's a suggestion?
In a way, we believe a wash rack. So how are you going to prevent the water and the mud from going out on the road? You're going from one problem to another.
Talk about using the sweeper.
They usually have a station.
Well, what we do, you recall the wash rack that you approved in the hearing yesterday for Scott Rood out at 78th Street?
That was a water filter system.
Well, what we do is we wash our vehicles. The water goes into a containment device. Yeah. We filter the water.
When I come out of the car wash, I've got a half a block of water I'm following. Every car wash, when you come on the car wash, you have a trail of water that comes off my car.
But it's clean water.
The same thing.
But it's clean water. It doesn't have silt in it. All the silt goes into the filtration system as you go through the car wash. That water is treated. They filter out the particulates, and then they dispose of them properly, rather than washing them into the ditches and into the Lewis River or wherever they go.
In other words, there is a way.
Yes, there is.
We've just approved a way, or renewed our way.
Now, it's not cheap.
Well,
some kind of containment system.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why I suggested the sweepers, Tom, first. Or Tom, in order
but
to sweep it up
they
first.
They can't do sweepers because the things on the road are considered to be contaminated. Therefore, it's picked up and it's taken.
Stordahl didn't seem to think so. He didn't say when him and I discussed the sweeper. He thought it was a pretty good idea, and the thing of it is he thought you could maybe sell those byproducts to landscaping people for putting this filler when they were doing landscaping, they could sell it for sandboxes, they could sell it for oil.
That's good, but the state says it's contaminated.
Well, I don't know.
And therefore, we haul it all over to 76th Street, and we have a pile of it out there.
Well, if that's the case, then they could always...
From the sweepings?
Yes.
But then we dispose
street
of it.
Sweeping.
But we dispose of it.
Both of it.
Yep, in an environmentally friendly way, and some of it we use, I think, in the parks program.
So,
yep.
Are you asking him to do the same thing here? If he sweeps this, you're not going to come back and tell him that he just put contaminants off on the side of the road.
We're saying that a wash rack should be helpful in controlling this issue. We're not telling him he needs to do it.
Where do you see the we believe?
Second to the last paragraph.
Leading staff to believe.
Oh.
Prevent noticeable track out onto Kelly Road.
Should be a help. So,
I mean, there's a toolbox that he can.
They're going to complain no matter if you have water tracking out there or if you have any amount of dust tracking out there. But you know, if Rogers buys off on a sweeper and we don't go after him for sweeping contaminants, I can buy off on it. But it depends what actions we take after that.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is, it's a letter, Tom. If he wants to challenge it and say, by state law, I can't do that and that. But then he's got the same problem. He's got these people suing him out there. And how many more suits is he going to have over various different things? If there's any kind of a little thing that tweaks it to clean up the dust and mitigate washing everything down into the Lewis River. And my God, I think any little thing he could do, and I think he realized that when I had a conversation with him, and especially if he blacktops that road up there, coming down there, which he told me that he was going to do up until the point they filed a lawsuit against him, you know. And now when it goes through that process and...
They've been threatening a lawsuit for as long as I know.
Well, they got one now, he says. So.
Well, he told me that before, too. He's got no grounds for it. The attorney's taking his money. He's got no grounds.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I don't think the letter hurts anything other than personally.
You speak about the roadside ditches.
Yeah.
As a conveyance for stormwater runoff and are part of the county's MS4. Are we going to make them put filters in the ditch then? So if I was him, that's like the person that told me over here at the Columbia Business Center, Tom, your employee's car's been dripping oil out here. We want you to dig it up and remove it.
Well, he could tell us where we can shove the letter if he doesn't like it, Tom. He can write you.
Well, I believe in a letter of recommendation or help to be a good neighbor, or maybe ask him if he has ideas that he could help control some of these problems. But when we start suggesting that he do certain things that gets him in trouble someplace else, I think we're out of line.
Well, he liked the suggestion when I talked to him. He saw this suggestion
of the part of the county's MS4 program, sweeping it into the side of the gutters of the road where it becomes a conveyance. And
I don't know. I see him use street sweepers all over the place, and it sweeps up the stuff. And the county sweeps my road a lot of times with a county sweeper. So if it's not a good thing, then I should tell the county, don't sweep my road.
Maybe the language could just be changed. Instead of "I suggest you employ a street sweeper," you could say something as simple as "perhaps you could employ a street sweeper."
And that's where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. I think that street sweepers create dust. The ones I see on commercial sites, industrial sites, it's not a sweeper underneath the vehicle with a vacuum. It's a sweeper out front that's set at an angle that flips it up off the road, and it creates a little bit of dust while it's doing that.
Right. Our sweepers have the circular kind with the vacuum.
With the vacuum, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's a few $100,000 investment.
It is. And it may create a little dust on the outside of the brushes, but the vast majority of the debris on the road goes in the truck.
In the bucket,
Yep. So the issue is he's generating a pollutant, and it's getting where it shouldn't go. And how to prevent it from getting there is up to him. And we're just giving him suggestions on how to do that. So we can tweak it to make it.
I think it would be really important
more
for
friendly.
Us to keep it friendly and make a very clear distinction between directives that carry the weight of shall. And suggestions and recommendations. We cannot confuse those two.
That's where I'm going with that. And when we start talking about systems, then we're not giving him the option of taking care of it to the best of his ability.
But he'll be the one that'll determine whether he wants to put a system in, Tom, or whether he just wants to sweep it up and wash it down with the wash trucks.
See, if you wash it off before the trucks leave, it's there.
Yeah.
If the trucks leave dirty, then it's on the road.
Then
you have to get it off the road, right?
If you sweep it off the road into the gutter, then it becomes part of a pollutant.
But when it's this deep on the bridges down there, and it's blowing off of there, going down into the Lewis River, into the spawning areas and stuff like that, it's crazy. It doesn't take that much effort to try to clean it up and dress it up, whatever you got to do.
A recommendation. That
how about saying perhaps one option would be to employ...
You got it.
Sweeper.
You know, you got the intent.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
if we go back, I think there was three or four bullets from our last audio. We're looking for bullets, and we got these. And I remember specifically saying, you got a lot of paragraphs here.
Yeah.
Why don't you just end up with three or four bullets?
I'll work with
them. According to Axel, this isn't the first communication they've sent him.
Right, that's
why. No, it's
actually
the second.
That's why. Well, all the more reason to be short, concise, to the point. So it'll be at a glance.
One.
Yeah. Okay, what else we got?
Well, that exhausts the old business. We're on commissioner reports.
Oh, okay. I got something.
Ed, do you have anything?
Okay. You can pass around. Thank you. And we can't forget our guest here. You matter.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, what I didn't think to bring was the resolution that got voted on by the people last November, the advisory vote number, was it 3?
East County Toll Bridge?
East County Bridge.
Yep.
Toll Bridge.
Number 3.
You mean Toll
Free Bridge?
Toll Free Bridge. Careful
toll
there.
Toll Free. I just see it if you're paying attention.
I'm sorry I didn't bring a copy of that. Can you bring it up and you can read the whereas... it would be in the grid around.
It'll be the.
But is there a link to the actual?
Oh, the resolution itself.
Resolution. If you go to the grid, I think it's January 28 of last year. Anyway, while he's bringing that up, the advisory vote last year had three different bridge options on it: east, mid, and west. Of those three, the only one that received a unanimous commissioner in vote was the East County Bridge, and the people widely supported that, and that had action items. It directed the commissioners to champion this cause, to take active leadership on this project, to go to fill in the blanks, make it real, get specific design, come back with a real price, with real terms, and if you can accomplish that, then take those specifics and go back to the voters and say, now that we did what you asked us to do, here's it's in my iPhone's in my office, here's the iPhone. Here's what it cost. Here's what needs to be done yet. There's some specific leftovers that need to be done between now and next year. And now that you have all those specifics, with all those pages and pages of design, okay, community, we told you we'd go back to you for your final approval. It's not final approval, it's saying to approve the specifics of this unsolicited proposal. Now what? And that's basically what we're going to do. Now, here's the thing. The reason that you're hearing about this before you, about the hearing, before you actually receive the specifics, is because the our prosecuting attorney's office has informed me 2 days ago that if we're going to get this on the ballot, we got to give notice early because it's a public hearing process. And so that hearing date is the 29th, and it needs to be noticed by tomorrow. And so between now and that hearing date, this one provider of unsolicited proposal for the East County Bridge, Linda Figg, she's the CEO. She is going to come here and possibly with staff and some other experts that are going to present, have one-on-ones with each of the commissioners here to say, okay, here's what we have, to inform each of us in anticipation of us putting this on the ballot. There will be other meetings to follow, work sessions and presentations by this bridge building company that will inform many other leaders in our bi-state community so that we can all weigh in on this this thing.
Well, David,
yes, sir.
I think a couple things we have here that you don't imply it's going to be a state bridge, not a county bridge, and it has to be a state bridge. So this is intended to be a
by-state bridge. This is just a quick draft. I'll be happy to modify that if you like.
You have to do that.
Okay.
And it's a good time to put it on the ballot because there's so many other elections that are on there.
Okay.
The cost would be minimal.
Okay. So build a new by-state.
I wanted people to understand very clearly that it's just so what we're at. Well, we won't be very clear that it's going to be a state by state bridge.
Yes.
And I have a problem with the public hearing.
Actually, just like the fireworks, the only way to put something on the ballot is that we have to be able to have a public hearing that puts it on the ballot.
No, we don't. That
well, that's why, Chris.
Did we have one before?
Mm-hmm. That's what Chris Horn informed me. And that's the process we went through last time.
Maybe we did.
It is a formal process. To put something on the ballot, you got to have a public hearing. Unavoidable. That's why we have to be able to make the decision today to at least notice it. It doesn't obligate us at this point to put it on the ballot, but it opens the door and it paves the way to have us hearing so we can put it on the ballot. On the 29th. We should probably specify the date here on the 29th. 29th July.
You're going to have to answer. I have no answers.
Not yet. Between now and the end of the month, all the answers you want will be given to you.
And here's what I want. I'm what I'd really like to request. That during the hearing, we don't get involved in the dialogue. That being the case, we could be there for hours in dialogue.
About the wisdom of the bridge idea, or?
Yes.
Just wherever the discussion might take us.
I'm afraid we would get in, it would open it up to where it was so broad. It would include the West Side Bridge,
right.
The I-5 Bridge. So specifically, I'd really have the guy come up and tell me, you're really stupid for having this West Side Bridge. I don't want to hear about the East Side Bridge. I don't want to hear about I-5 Bridge or West Side Bridge. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to restrict it to where we don't have dialogue for 100 people that come up and testify.
Well, anytime you're going to have a public hearing, you open the door for anybody who wants to come testify.
But you narrow the conversation.
But you can identify the range.
Okay.
At the beginning of the hearing, you can say this is specifically
because
to consider.
This does very little. It really does very little.
Yeah, we're not making the decision whether or not we're going to.
Even when it goes on the ballot, it does very little. It just says that we're going to have people come in and show us some bridges.
Oh, actually, between now and the end of the month, they'll be here and they'll present everything to us individually, and they will have work sessions, presentations, community-wide, wide open, share all this stuff. The whole bi-state community, that's already in the works. If we embrace it, but if we say no, this is not appropriate, then we walk away.
So, what's the yes or no question that would?
Do we have a hearing?
Pardon?
All this is
no, when I go to the when I get my ballot, what am I saying? If I say yes, what am I saying yes to?
This doesn't specify what the wording is on the ballot. What this does is it provides for the hearing. So between now and then, that'll be defined.
Okay.
I want to be very careful as to what we do. You're just asking the people.
They like it.
To have, we already asked them that.
Well, there's a big difference between last year and this year. Can you bring that up and read it?
No, last year they said they would like a bridge.
Well, let's read it.
Toll-free bridge.
this is what they voted on last year. First of all, this is on, what, the 28th of January last 20, year?
21st.
Okay. There's 14 different, what are these, specifications here. And the last one here.
I don't want to design the bridge if we don't have Oregon buy-in.
Exactly. So here's what it says here. Number 13 says, once a clear project is defined, including the financial plan, allow Clark County citizens to voice their approval or rejection of the project in a countywide advisory vote.
In support of a project, what it should be, probably.
Well, this is the one that's already was voted on last year. So what we're doing is we're following through on item number 13 of what the people said they were going to do, and we as a commission voted unanimously to say, okay, we're going to, you told us to do it, we're going to do it, and this is doing it.
Do we have a financing plan?
Yeah. They include terms. They already got terms.
Is it on the grid?
We can have the bridge, but unless Oregon buys into it, we don't have a bridge.
Right.
So where are we going with this? What specifically are we doing with this?
What we are doing is following through on what we said we would do last time, which is to come back, to welcome an unsolicited proposal that already includes a means to finance it, terms, price, design, guaranteed construction, all of that presented to our community, and this starts here because that's our jurisdiction.
Okay,
but it can't end here. It has to expand.
So that's what they voted for. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to show them? What's this one for? They've already said they would accept. They're just going to. I'm looking for something specific that we're going for. They said, would you accept? Talking about the people, would they accept it? So, isn't this saying the same thing? Or is this the end? This is the proposal.
There's the difference between what was voted on last year and what we have in front of us now is last year said, do you embrace the idea? Should we go out and get this information? Should we come back to you with a specific unsolicited proposal? They said yes. We said yes. And so during that time, this company has been working on this.
Let me drop you off here because you're confusing me. Okay, so now we're doing that. So we're coming back to place this on the ballot.
So here it is.
And what they're saying is that we're going to give them all the specifics of the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Design, engineering, price.
And that's what this is going to be. So this is going to be a picture of the bridge,
mm-hmm.
the financing of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing right now, we're just getting our place on the ballot.
This allows our community to be able to participate in the decision. So much of this has to do
with... Don't confuse me with that stuff. I know what that does for the people.
Okay.
I want to know, when it comes to the... We're putting a place... This, what we're voting on right now...
Mm-hmm.
Put this in a timely fashion to be on the ballot. And when the ballot comes out, it's going to have on there the
specific
design
question.
Of the bridge, the financing of the bridge, and what else?
All of the above.
No, what's that?
Cost, price, design, terms.
That's finance.
The
financing of the bridge and the design of the bridge.
Is there more?
Just two things, financing and what the bridge will look like, the design of the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay, that's understandable.
Okay.
And the people are going to look at it and say, that's it, that's what I want, yes or no, and then we go out to sell it. The people support this idea. And this financing package, and so then we sell it to the state and to Oregon.
With one but modification, we don't give this company a monopoly. We open it up for anyone, any other unsolicited proposal, any other bridge building company out there that wants to be able to also offer a choice. This is one choice. Didn't cost us anything to get to this point, and there are other bridge building companies out there who may have other ideas, better ideas.
But they're voting on just one design and one finance.
Yes. And it also, what we're saying is, the way this is the intention behind this is not to lock in a particular company and give them an unfair advantage over all other companies and kind of bypass the process. That doesn't work.
But you can't have me vote for something if I don't have a picture. I have to have a picture and a finance plan for all of the other companies too then.
No. All you need is one, and you can open up the door for the others. We have one.
It'll be real interesting to see the verbiage on how you're going to do it. You're going to show them a picture of one bridge, and they're going to vote on that, but they don't want that bridge.
Well, think about it this way. I remember when Apple announced their first iPhone, long before they delivered it, they said, it's coming. Here's a choice. Here's a new product. Now, you can go pick another product from another company if you want to, but here's one choice you want to sign up for, and here's the size, here's how it works, here's the cost, and you can say, I like that, or you just go someplace else and shop someplace else. This is that.
So you're going to put down the cost and finance and the design, and other companies can come in and bid on a finance.
Either lower or higher.
Yeah, open market.
No,
open competition.
No, people are voting on a bridge that costs so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a bridge that costs me $900,000, for example.
It must be less than that, because that's what the
proposal says. $700,000. $700 million.
Keep going.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
So we're going to lock in on the price.
The company's going to lock in on the price.
The ballot is going to lock in on the price. No? Yes.
It's simpler than this. This is allowing a tangible, defined choice A to be presented to the people, like we said we were going to present it, and say, do you like it? Do you get behind it? Do you support this? Great. We're also open up for any other ideas, too, but here's something tangible. And that will allow us to move the football down.
Let me recap. We have a bridge here for $500 million. And this is the financing for that. You can support this. With your vote, you'll support this or other proposals?
You support this, and you're open to any other competition who wants to compete with it.
Don't you have to ask one question?
Yeah, we are. We're just asking that one question and not closing the door on all other potential unsolicited proposals. We might have.
I remember when we put the other stuff on the ballot, we had to narrow that down to one question.
It is one question.
What is it?
We'll define that between now and the time we put it on the ballot. And I'm signing up to work with the like you. They'll come and they'll have a conversation with each one of us. They'll present all this to us. There's a lot to define between now and, or a lot for us to be able to understand, to be presented to between now and the end of the month. The wording of the ballot is something that we'll all work on mutually. I'll be happy to present a draft for that.
Well, it's going to be, remember last time Lori Volkman worked.
What's that?
Well, Lori Volkman worked with us several weeks to get that verbiage proper and legal.
Hey. Yeah.
Questions, Ed?
If you two gentlemen remember that when you sent me the questionnaire, I told you then that I was opposed to the third bridge. And the reason why I was opposed to the third bridge, you guys had wording. The wording in there basically said, and I try to bring that up the same day that you guys basically selected me and a couple times before, that my concern is if a private developer is going to build a bridge, why do the voters of Clark County even have to vote on it? If you've got a private developer who wants to come in here and build a bridge, then it shouldn't be. Well, that's the way the wording was to me. That's the way the wording, the question was in there.
Would the private developer build the I-5 bridge?
No, Tom, wait a minute. The wording to me and the wording to the other two people was that a private developer was going to design, build this bridge, and then you were going to put it out to a vote and for no reason. If somebody else is going to build it, it's just like selling you a pair of shoes, you know, no different. Why, if David's buying a pair of shoes, why do I care? So the wording in that questionnaire was out there that, hey, we're going to build this bridge, they're going to design it, the guy's going to do whatever, whoever's going to get it, ABC contractor and that. So why does the voter care whether what the cost of the bridge is? And David basically said, well, you know, you don't want the cost to go sky high. Well, somebody has to be responsible. So if there's cost overruns, the guy builds the bridge. And then the question also was brought up by David a few back just a while ago that he wanted to get the $450 from the state of Oregon, the same $450. And that's why I told you guys.
Keep broad again. You got to keep me narrow.
Right. That's why I told you guys and suggested to David, you need to get. If you're going to build it, it can't be a city bridge, it can't be a state bridge, it can't be a federal bridge, unless there's legislation.
We're not that far. We're not that far yet.
No, but you have to go to the legislature. Well, you brought it up already, Tom, about going that it has to be a state bridge.
And we're not that far.
But right, but I'm saying I am not in favor of the third bridge, and the reason why I'm not in favor of it, I don't want to buy a pig in a poke, and I've told you guys that before.
We're not.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are, Tom, because you're putting something out on the ballot that the voters are going to end up get stuck for when it says in the wording that we look when you interviewed me, you interviewed the rest of them, it basically said in there
the developer has nothing to do with what we proposed.
Yeah, but the developer was going to build the bridge. Well, it does have everything to do with it because he's bringing up again that you're going to go out now and you're going to put this back out to the voters again to see whether they are in favor of this third bridge. Are they going to be in favor of paying? How are they going to pay for it? Are they going to pay for it with property tax?
We haven't
got
there.
Tolls?
We haven't got that far.
Well, yeah, but he says you are that far because somebody's going to have to pay for it, Tom. And the questions that you guys sent to the three of us.
Kind of reminds me of C-TRAN last night when we were doing a project.
Right, right. Well, but you know, you can throw all that out you want to throw out. But I'm saying what I remember in my mind. Questions I told, the comments I made to you fellas when we were standing right in that hearing room, that why should the voter care what the cost of the bridge is if a private developer is going to build a bridge? And then Tom, just a little while back, Dave said that he would like to see both the state of Oregon and Washington come up with the $450 that they, the failed I-5 bridges.
And so they come up with the $450,000. We don't have anything except $450 million.
Million. From each state.
Okay.
So
we got money.
Yeah, so
let me get my picture. I got $450 million here and $450 million here.
But the only way you're going to get that is get it through the Oregon Washington legislature.
Right, I got that.
By passing
I'm
law.
Saying okay, we got it.
But the developer. When this whole package went down and it went out to the voters was that it was going to be built by a private company. They were going to pay for it. And my recollection is the questions that you folks asked me when I told you that why in hell do I care? Why does any voter in Clark County care what happens with it if a private developer is going to build a bridge? We don't. We don't care.
And you're
at
saying
all.
It wrong.
Okay.
A private developer is not going to build the bridge for us.
Well, that's the the questionnaire.
No matter what bridge you build, I guess a private person is going to build a bridge.
But then you've got to have a finance package. Either the county is going to pay for it, the state's going to pay for it, the federal government's going to pay for it, somebody has to.
So it goes back to buying a pig and a poke.
That's right. That's
you got to know
I'm
what
gonna
you're buying first, right?
So
I'm going to show you a product.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you a product, and this product is going to cost X number of dollars. Okay, that looks pretty good. Okay, can you give me $450 million, and can you give me $450 million? If they say no, the pick and the poke goes away.
Yeah. Well, the way it's
it costs nobody anything to do it.
Well, you guys can put it on the ballot if you want to, but I'm under my circumstances, I'm getting the commission you guys appointed me on here, knowing full where I stood on the third bridge. And
well, you're just opposed to the third bridge.
Yes, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change my opinion, Tom, until somebody shows me that that you got the law.
So if I took the same bridge and put over here on the I-5, it'd be okay.
No, I-5. The money, you already had the money for the I-5, Tom.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, you did. You had the state legislature. The House voted for it, both in Oregon and Washington. The coalition in the Senate up there, because of the agreement that Rodney Tom struck with Ann Rivers and Don Benton, with them having the decision on the bridge. You had the money. The money was there.
Had to be voted on.
No, the legislature. The House voted 52-40, Tom, mm-hmm. including 5 Republicans, in order to give the money for the Columbia River crossing. The Senate would not allow that to come up for a vote because Rodney Tom struck a deal with the coalition that Rivers and Benton would be the sole people that discuss whether the money come down here to the bridge. That's completely different. All I'm saying is I went through a questionnaire that you folks give me. I honestly answered that questionnaire the way I felt. I honestly answered the questions to you folks out here on the floor. And I don't intend on changing my position unless somebody shows me something different than you're showing me now. I think it's just I don't agree with it. I don't agree. And you've got to get somebody in the state of Oregon to come along and pass legislation in the state of Oregon that says they're going to make that a state bridge over there. Otherwise, the city of Vancouver's not going to build it. It's in the city of Vancouver's property. So I just have some serious problems about it. I know David's passionate about the third bridge. I understand that. Just like I'm passionate about the I-5 bridge and that. So, but that's where I stand, guys.
Okay, can I respond to you?
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, one of the best discoveries I've made about you, Commissioner Barnes, is that you will follow the truth wherever it leads.
Yep.
You believe that truth exists, it matters, and logic and reason is based upon that. That's really good. And you've also said something really important. You said, unless somebody shows me. And it's logical, and it's reasonable, and it's so understandable for you to be able to have your conclusion formed the way it is with what you know. But I know something you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So, and your one thing I like about you is that when you discover something you didn't know, you consider it, and I know what's coming. So as long as you're teachable, as long as you're open and you're still committed to follow the truth wherever it leads, give it a chance.
So
if they can hear me out for a minute. We are not committing to build a bridge. We are not committing. We are not saying we're going to do it. All we're asking here is that we will schedule a hearing. In between now and that hearing, we're going to learn stuff we don't know, and then we're going to ask the people. We're going to share with them also, and we're going to ask them, "What do you think about this?" And we're going to include them in that decision-making process. And what I do know is that it is not a federal bridge. It is not. We're not going to take one federal dollar for this. And this is not. Is that there's no way that any one entity by themselves are going to accomplish anything. We need to work with goodwill with all of the jurisdictions. That includes all the cities in Clark County, the cities in Oregon, in the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, both DOTs. All of those entities need to come together. None of them will come together for any project whatsoever unless there's leadership, and unless there's vision, unless there's tangible substance to us, to that. And it starts somewhere. We understand, I look at this major project that we all failed at. And it failed for there are lessons to be learned. that's a tuition payment. It's $200 million tuition payment. We ought to be able to learn how not to do something. And part of that lesson, I look at that, is that it was a top-down process that was over the objection of the people. This turns that back right side up and says, people, this is your community, it's not ours. Nobody from the governor on down is going to dictate to our community what they're going to do to us. We serve you, we don't lord it over you. And we invite you to participate in this. And bureaucracies failed on this, and they'll fail every other time when you just simply try to do something as big as that with a bureaucracy. We invite and we welcome the private sector to come in at no cost, present to us what we were never able to achieve with the bureaucracy, offer us a tangible solution, and give it a chance. And if it looks like it makes sense, then Mr. Transportation Commissioner, Mr. Labor Leader, all those jobs that you wear on your jobs pin, they will embrace, and they only use union labor. And all those brothers and all those sisters that you represent are going to look to you to either kill this project because you don't have a vision, you don't think it can be done, or they'll look at this fellow who's going to have a legacy that said, guess what? He realized that there was something he didn't know, and he discovered a vision, and you've been the key. You have, when they look back a couple of generations now, they say, who was that? I'm thinking, that was the fella who left a legacy. And all those jobs, that instead of being killed, they're union jobs, and you're going to want the union logos on that paperwork when we're done. I believe that's the case.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know what's going to turn out, but I know one thing. Unless we give it a chance, it will not happen, and those jobs are dead already on arrival. But if we give it a chance, it just might happen. But it won't happen without your leadership. I can't do this. None of us can do this without your leadership, Mr. Barnes.
Yeah.
And it's not up to me to talk you into it.
Yeah.
But one thing I do know, if you don't somehow allow yourself to hear what they have to say, and you consider it with your own integrity.
Well, I don't have a problem listening to what they have to say.
Well, good.
I don't have a problem with listening, but it's just when you talk about job killers, two legislators from down here, both senators, killed a project that would have lasted for 7 years.
You got to get beyond
7 years.
It's true, and all that's in the past.
Union jobs.
Yes, and what we
I
have.
I want non-union.
Well, actually, these are union jobs, and what we have.
Prevailing wage jobs.
Well, they are
prevailing wage. Above union scale. How about that?
And what we have here is a chance to do it right and do it real and put union stamps on this and use all union labor and make something happen. And I think we ought to give it a shot and give it an opportunity. And yes, there's process that needs to happen. And yes, it will be a bi-state process. Both state legislatures, both governors are going to have to get behind this, but they'll get behind the community's bottom up first, and that's what's different.
I remember when the I-5 project started, it was shoved down our throat from the beginning.
No,
they started off with 13 sites across here, Ed. Remember that?
Yep, I remember all of it. I started.
Two of the sites went right into the middle of the airport. Yep. Are they practical?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Those were tunnels.
No, they were. They were over.
Tunnels underneath the airport.
They stopped just short of 205, and they stopped just short of the railroad.
Okay.
So I move.
Top down.
That we schedule a July 29 hearing to consider putting a countywide advisory vote for an unsolicited proposal for a new toll-free union job. Third Bridge, East County Bridge. Do I hear a second?
You don't need a second. You just need two votes.
Well, yeah, we do need a second. We get more formal now. This is so much about this has to do with doing things right, following a valid process. I want to make this all the way through. I want to make sure we get it right. So I'm looking for a second.
You're confusing. You're confusing me. What we're going to do, we're going to show a product that could be done for $600 million. And we're just looking for a place to put it.
That's defined too.
So that will come into it.
It's all built in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our connections are already included.
So what this does is it tells the people, do you like the concept of this bridge for $600 million?
It's more than a concept. It's a real design. By the way, it connects all the pedestrians and all the bike trails and all on both sides.
So it's
going to
be one example. It's going to be one example of what can be done for $600 million. And it doesn't confine it to one bridge builder. It's a concept of one bridge builders for the others to compete with. So the others could come back with different designs and different prices, but it kind of gives them a baseline to start from.
This is not simply a concept, and this is not us specifying to them.
I'm thinking wrong word. A real design of a real bridge.
Yep.
And a real finance process.
Yep. It is all that.
And it's not bound by that project or that financial firm.
They're coming to us with their smart ideas, and we're hopefully smart enough to consider it.
But you're saying that it's also open to others.
We as a community always welcome open competition, always welcome ideas from the
but
free
we're
market.
Not, and we'll get there with a different thing. What we're doing right now is trying to understand what we're going to put on the ballot.
Is authorizing the process to put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
So we have a hearing scheduled. Still looking for a second. Mr. Jobs? Just to put it on the ballot.
I'll vote for Jobs.
Is that a second?
That's a second.
Okay.
Jobs.
Mr. Chairman, you can call for the vote.
Yeah, we voted.
Well,
we don't vote in here. In the hearing board,
yeah,
we don't
vote. Yeah, we do. Do we vote in here, Mr.?
You have done that on previous occasions, and it's certainly appropriate in this case.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Won't belabor it. You can't do that. Not necessary. I think the concept is good.
Okay.
I think understanding of what's being done. I think I understand it now, and I've kind of beat this horse to death. Okay. And I understand that, but I did it for the purpose of understanding more specifically that we weren't duplicating what we did before.
Absolutely.
And it's a small step
for mankind.
For people to understand, and it's a bottom-up approach.
Yes.
It's getting the people involved to accept the idea first,
yes.
Not being told where they're going to put it.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And quite honestly, Commissioner Mielke, the resolution that was passed by the voters called for you to do just what you did.
Oh, okay.
And so we're on track.
And I'll be happy to work with our prosecuting attorney's team to make sure that we got the process right.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I think we ought to call it the Ed Barnes Bridge.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We'll work through it.
Prevailing wage job done by non-union employees.
That's right.
So Commissioner Mazur, he doesn't get any more time to talk about that.
Okay, your time's up. Okay.
In fact, you're covered for next week, too.
Holly, do you have anything?
I do not, thank you.
Anything else, Marty?
Ed?
Yes. Just some quick items. The person was drowned out at Klein Line Park. Just a suggestion that went out there and looked, and I think it's a cheap process that would maybe help people in the future, even in the swimming area where the lifeguards are at, would be to stretch. I've seen it other places where they stretch a long cable from one across the lake or across the water. They put these huge, big orange balls or blue balls on it, where the person out that fishing dock out there, if they
could have grabbed it, stayed afloat.
That's right. It would have been stretched across there. Very cheap process to go through to anchor them down, and it would have given the person an opportunity to grab anybody, kids or anybody else, that would be able to grab those things that would save, and would also help the life-saving person out there have another apparatus for her to work with or him to work with, and making sure that somebody doesn't get drowned. It's a very cheap process to go through.
Yeah.
They have the balls with the hole already in them. You just stretch the cable from across the water.
How many lifeguards do we have out there on the shift?
Anyway, just a suggestion to look at.
Suggestion
to look at.
We have a pretty large swimming area,
and
we designed it in a fashion that the lifeguards could watch that area primarily.
Yes.
So when they go outside that area, lo and behold, no matter where you put that cable floating across there, it's going to be in the wrong spot.
Well, it wouldn't be just one cable. I think there's room enough for about four different cables you could stretch along there with the balls out there. And it would be, I'm just a suggestion for safety sake, to make sure that nobody else gets grounded out if you can. That's all it is, a suggestion. Just a suggestion.
I would like to look into the cost of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be giving up the building of a park.
No,
to put
no,
more floating.
No, it wouldn't compare to the cost of a park.
Oh, well, they just put the anchors in the bank over there on both sides and anchor.
The fellow that heads up that lifeguard team, his name is Patrick. He's an amazing leader. He is already very actively involved in pulling together a bunch of different ideas from across the state. And they're very much tuned into there. They're already planning on coming to us. If not, maybe they can just do it with their own department, Public Works, to be able to add signage, to do other measures. They're on it already. And if they need to come to us for some specific authorization, they will. But they're as proactive as they can get. And I would, in your idea of the cable indicating where the drop-off is, be able to grab before you get to it or something like that, should be communicated, Mark, if you can
but
do that with Patrick.
They're not supposed to be in that area.
Well, they're not. And also, just to make sure that we, let's talk about the lifeguards and their function for a minute. The lifeguards are there. They normally are there until 7 o'clock. They have a big formal announcement that they give at that time.
No swimming.
That says, we're going off, and all, you know, don't, you know, and also when they're on duty, they purposely exclude from their vision everything else except what is inside of that swimming area.
Yep.
Because they can't, they can only focus on one spot at a time. In fact, if you go up to those lifeguards when they're sitting up on their tower looking out, they will not look at you. They'll look out, they'll keep looking out there, which means they're not looking at the dock or any place else in that lake. They were off at 7 o'clock that night, and what Patrick said is that somebody's hat had blown in. This individual was not a swimmer. They walked in, could not swim, just simply went down under over by the, in that area, way away from the swimming area. We had 9 drownings over in Clark County in the last several weeks or so. The buddy system and watching out for each other is what's appropriate here, and we'll take whatever kit measures we can at Kleinline. But
just a suggestion.
It's a really good suggestion, and Mark's going to include it and make sure that that team knows about it.
I have 2 drownings out there. Did we have 2?
2 in the Lewis River, and then 1 at Kleinline.
There's 1 in the Kleinline.
I heard non-swimmer. Sorry, I heard the half blew off, and the kid dove in from the dock to go get it.
The adult went in to get it.
The adult walked in.
And then stepped off the drop-off.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't realize how deep that water is out there.
So, good idea. Mark will pass that on to Patrick.
The other thing...
We'll come back with a cost on that.
Yeah, I've already sent an email to
we could spend millions of dollars out there and you'll still have fools.
Right.
Sure.
Absolutely, Tom. I agree. I agree 100%.
We've added 2 lifeguards that we never had before, and that's kind of what we used to eat up the savings that we used to have from other areas.
We have to be really careful about our terminology.
Well, we didn't have lifeguards before.
Yeah,
we had them, and then
they went away.
That person.
It was funny. We didn't have drownings until later on. Then we had 1. Years later, we had 1 with no lifeguard, and everybody's arms went up. And in fact, I think it was Ed Barnes that was yelling at us from down there at the testimony chair, saying, you guys don't have a lifeguard. Now we got a lifeguard, we still have a drowning.
Right.
I just want to finish that statement. That person who walked in had good intentions. I don't know if it was their hat or somebody else's hat to help somebody out. Their loved family member.
An idiot.
No, be careful.
I'm sorry.
He had a lot of relatives there, loved, and did not expect. And it only takes 1 mistake for us to do something like that, and there's no forgiveness.
There was a 19-year-old kid up at Myrtle Lake up there.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a window to throw it out of. The church family member, person that works right here in the department, is trying to raise funds so that they got money to bury the kid and take care of him. I mean, it just...
circumstances happen. You can't always protect everything.
We have the same thing. You know, we are reactionary. We had a skateboarder run over up on 172nd. And what do I get next? I get requests to have streetlights put out there in the country.
Right. I didn't answer that one. I got that.
You didn't answer that one.
I didn't answer that one.
Okay, I thought. Yeah, so. Don't feel bad. I remember in the legislature when there was a car full of teens that rolled over, and they all walked away except for one girl. And there's a speaker in the back window that wasn't bolted down, and they hit her just right in the head and killed her. So we passed a law saying you can't have speakers in your back window unless it's tied down. So sometimes it looks kind of foolish shutting the corral gate after the horse already got away.
So. All right. Number two that I got written down here, see what we're going to do about up at Livingston Mountain and Yakult Mountain with the straighten out the road or whatever we could do, the road improvement stuff.
I've already got a meeting set up with Schulte and Tom Grange and Heath Henderson and Mark Wilson to take a look at that.
Didn't we do an evaluation on that road already?
Yes, we're going to dig it up and we'll refresh the study. Because I have not, with my own eyes, seen the truck traffic, and based on comments from Commissioner Barnes, I feel the need to do that. So I think it's appropriate, so, given the testimony we heard, the compelling testimony from that school kid who was on the bus. So I think we have an obligation to take a look at it.
Yeah. So now, we're talking about 262nd Avenue. Or are you talking about some other road?
I'm not familiar with the...
262nd to Bradford Road.
Yeah.
And then also from Bradford Road down to 4th
Line. Down
to
53rd. Down to 53rd.
Straight as an arrow until you get to the State Highway 500.
No, Tom.
I'm talking about Bradford Road.
No.
Bradford Road.
Some of it is.
West to 4th Plain. Well, it's straight as an arrow.
We just need to go out there and look at it. That's all I'm saying. I think it would make...
Yeah, I'll get my GoPro on and I'll do a video.
Okay.
And all
right. Okay.
When you do go look out there, this weather lends itself to leaving the signature of the truck tires in the shoulders so you can see where they're running off the road.
Well, they breaks it right up.
Yeah. And
they're tearing big holes like this in the side of the road, tearing the blacktop out. The holes are this big around this deep.
Yeah, so you got a good team there. They'll be able to identify and make it more better.
Yes. I'm talking about the state road that's got the holes in it.
4th Plain.
That's the state road.
No, it's not anymore, Tom. SR 500 goes the other way. It heads north. Anyway, number four, I would like to see if... The thing over the concealed carry thing that we discussed here last week, just another thought in my mind. You know, before you do something like that again, you got a machine here. I think that ask the employees that work for the county, no names, no numbers on the ballot or whatever, that they could just walk up to wherever they're at and plug it in there where they're in favor of the people carrying the weapons here and the thing. Like I told you, I have a problem with it, but I just throwing that as a suggestion. I think that some that have talked to me when the rumor's been running around are absolutely adamant against people carrying handguns in the county building. So
are we going to use that for? So if I have 51% of the people, and
so again, it's a survey. You're in favor of surveys? Survey?
Yes, sounds like a good idea.
Survey employees. Then that's off everybody's mind.
Actually, we already opened that door for a while ago, but this sounds like a better means to do so, or at least one more means to do so. Sure, welcome that. Let people speak freely and anonymously.
Yeah. There's a tool called SurveyMonkey.
I heard last night at CCRA, they said people elected me to make those decisions for them. Isn't that what I heard?
All I'm saying is I'm hearing from employees, and I think that that if the option is there, Tom, we ought to take advantage of it.
Input is good.
So, my theory is, Ed, that we're going to have 49% say no and 51% say yes. And then we're going to go with the majority.
I don't know.
Actually, what I would suggest is that if I don't think you're counting it as an election.
No.
What you're doing is you're counting it as factors and considerations that maybe we wouldn't have thought of, so that if we come up with some kind of policy, we won't have that oversight. We'll get their insight so that we can make a better policy.
Yeah, that they're comfortable with what the elected officials are sticking them with.
So, are you uncomfortable?
Or not comfortable, one of the two.
So. Are you uncomfortable? Are you uncomfortable with me sitting here?
I'm pretty comfortable.
That's a fair question.
Be nice. Be nice. Okay.
I'm going to get to
my number five. After talking to different folks and different Jeff Swanson, Marty, Mr. Olson, Stevens, has brought to my attention that the fees back to David. That the certain fees, because of a court suit against by the BIA, says that the money can only be used for certain things. What I would propose, if at all possible, between you two, would agree that maybe we could get with the leadership of the BIA and see if they would agree in some ways that we could spend that money for. Things that would create jobs, that would put the BIA contractors or people to work and make jobs in the community, and that rather than see the money go $150,000 or half a million or $1.5 million go out to somebody that is now driving a bigger Cadillac or going to Acapulco or something like that, that we could put that money back in the community, and the BIA employers or people in the business community would gain by us having an agreement with them that they would agree that there are better ways for that money to be spent that would benefit the jobs issues that you keep pushing, David.
I think your idea to talk with the Building Industry Association to better use revenue is a great idea. In fact, I would encourage you to go ahead and have your conversation with them one-on-one. I'd be happy to tune in with them as well. But sure, I think it's a great idea. I encourage you to pursue it. You have my support.
So, do they?
What kind of fees are you talking about? Because
I'm not talking about the impact fees, automobile, traffic impact fees.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the other traffic impact. I'm going to get to just your.
Well,
second.
It never hurts
I think
to
you're
get
talking
input.
About the lawsuit that the BIA.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So there is. That was something that we just approved.
And we just spent on the permits of that.
And there's some amount that the BIA is using per the court settlement, and then there's only a little bit.
Yeah.
Only a little bit that the county retains for.
Yeah, but I don't think the commissioner's talking about the money involved.
The settlement
in the
money?
Settlement.
Are you talking about the fees we charge them generally?
Right. He's talking about going forward, for the fees that we're waiving, rather than waiving them for Walmart and Fred Meyer and all that.
Yeah,
okay.
The big fees that you're waiving.
Collect those fees.
Okay, so the impact, it's the fee waiver program and the non-TIF fees that we're waiving.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
But he's going to talk TIF in a minute. So
okay. Collect
those fees from the heavy hitters and then use those fees
as seed money for something.
In partnership with BIA to create jobs.
Create more jobs.
You'll be kidding me.
Build your bridge.
First of all.
Your bridge.
The things that, the money that we're waiving, we're replacing, that's shortfall money that our permit center is not receiving. And we're taking money from our general fund and shoring up the part that we have waived.
No,
we haven't had to do
that. No.
Well, no, but that's the intent. The intent was that
right. We
were going to fill that cavity.
If necessary.
If necessary.
Yeah.
We haven't had to do that
right. Because
we've been kind of balanced, but we were responsible for any shortfall because of the waivers.
But the shortfall is going into somebody's pocket right now, Tom. that you're not getting back when you're waiving these fees to these big corporations and that didn't need the fees waived in the first place. Why in the world's name can't we get with the BIA and get an agreement with them?
It's not their money.
Huh?
It's not their money. It has nothing to do with the BIA.
Why is the court settlement saying that the BIA sued the county for mis...
So that's... I think there's maybe some context here, backdrop. So the Clark County was sued by the Building Industry Association for money that we were collecting from building permit fees.
Yeah.
At a time, we were using some of that money to pay for code enforcement programs. Okay?
I don't know what you were using.
No, that's the history of that court case is that we were using building money, which is restricted under the statute to do a handful of things. We were using some of the revenue to pay for code enforcement.
Marty, do you remember what year that settlement was?
2002? No.
Well, the court case goes back to 2002, but I think we settled in 8. 8 or 9 at the latest.
It was since I've been here.
Yes. Yeah. Let's just take Fred Myers, for instance. How much money did we waive, fees did we waive for Fred Myers by itself?
I'd have to look. The larger amount is on the traffic impact fee side.
Okay.
So you're talking about like building fees or engineering fees or planning fees
and stuff to waive.
And I think what you're alluding to is the building industry has been saying, well, you know, this program is benefiting commercial and nothing with residential. So I know that they're looking at something. I've talked with Jamie Housley a number of times. And Jamie is going to be bringing something to Deeb tomorrow about we charge impact fees, and could we delay when we actually collect the impact fees? And there are programs out there in the state that do that.
Battleground's already doing that, and I thought we were already doing that.
We had a program for the change in school impact fees that were charged from a base rate to an increased rate in 2007, but we've not done that across the board. So
we lowered school impact fees last, I remember.
Well, this was in the 07 update when everything went increased. So Deeb is looking at this from the residential side. Can we delay
to occupancy?
Charging, you know, and taking the actual TIF money and park impact fee money until the final inspection. And we're going to be looking at that.
So they can start generating revenue.
Well, they don't have the carrying costs.
What helps their cash flow?
Yeah. Because banks don't like loaning money on what are called soft costs.
I thought we looked into that, and I thought I was told by staff that that was already happening. If it's not happening, sure, let's do it.
Yeah. We're going to be looking at that.
I thought we were doing that, too.
Well,
we did amend the ordinance to say you can make a payment plan on TIFs.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's for commercial.
It's on a one-by-one basis?
It's you can pay your the time of building permits like we do now, or you can pay lump sum, or you can do a payment plan. This is more, it's more precise saying, well, you're going to still pay your fee, but we won't charge it at the time we issue the permit. We'll just charge it and get it at the final inspection. You don't want people moving in and saying, oh, by the way, you owe us money. Yeah. You have to leave for the weekend and make the payment.
But all I'm suggesting is if there's an avenue for us to use instead of the money going to somebody that would have built the project and done it anyway, why can't we get with the BIA and see if there's some way we can cut a deal with them in order to create more jobs in the community?
There is no money.
So,
it never hurts to talk to the industry, and that would be anytime you're asking questions of the building industry or any other industry in our area, we're getting insight and input, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
I am curious, though, how are dash panels doing? Remember the specific trends that we were, are you okay, Marty?
No, to my knowledge, we've done nothing on that.
For what?
A week ago, we talked about
put the chart
about fund balance, revenues, and creating a dashboard. I'll talk to you about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I knew that there was a discussion about new metrics, but
I thought there was a decision.
Something also related to the auditor's office. And
No. It was very specific. If you want to go back to the
audio. Right, it's right here. I know exactly what it is.
But all the traffic impact fees, David, if we could take that money and use out here on these projects that I was talking about on Fourth Plain, stuff, the traffic lights up at Yakult Mountain, wherever we could use them to create jobs, just like you did when you did Sacagawea, the project there that you touted in the county commission meeting a week or so ago, what a good project that was. If we could look and see how much those fees that we waived for Fred Myers or for whoever it was that didn't need the fees waived and use those to build more projects in the community, again, you're making more jobs than that and not giving it to somebody that really doesn't need the money.
We didn't give really money to anybody. We waived the fee.
Right.
So if you're going
it's
to
the
give,
same difference, Tom.
No. So when Walmart came in and they didn't, so what you want me to do is go back to Walmart and take the money that we waived.
No, you're not going to go back. What you're going to do is go forward future projects that people are doing the same thing. You're not going to award people that were planning on building a Walmart was going to build anyway. Fred Myers was going to build anyway.
Maybe.
Why give him $1.5 million worth of money when you could build another project in the community around the school safety projects, build these projects here that satisfy the taxpayers in the community? I mean, you know, I don't want to argue about it. I'm just throwing out some suggestions.
Well, I'm trying to understand what you're saying, Ed, because you're trying to give away something that we're not collecting. So if we don't collect it, then how do we give it away?
Well, I think Commissioner Barnes, if I could, I hope you don't mind me speaking for you, Commissioner, but I think he's suggesting that we modify the program. And staff made this suggestion to the board, I think, in the fall. And we used terms like corporate welfare and things like that. And the board was adamant, no, we're not doing that. The fee waiver program is staying in place until further notice. And I think there's some trigger that when the unemployment rate in Clark County drops below the unemployment rate of the state average, boom, then we lift the program.
No, then we reevaluate the program.
Then we reevaluate it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, job growth in this county is faster here than anywhere else in the state. So something's working.
Yeah.
But I do understand and appreciate your point that if we were collecting those fees, we could do additional road projects.
Right.
On the traffic impact.
Traffic impact.
And I know what you're at, and now I remember it was, There's a budget approved for waiving fees in the event we need it. And how are we doing against that?
That was 3.6 or something.
That was
right?
The question.
And it all went away to zero.
Yeah.
And the traffic
fund,
impact fees are.
What is your cash balance now on your fund?
I would have to ask.
Last
Mark
time
Gassaway.
I looked, it was over $8 million.
I'd have to ask Mark Gassaway on that.
I think
just
we're in record territory.
Again, guys.
Well,
the traffic impact fees are not part of my budget. They're going to be part of Heath Henderson's budget.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he has to absorb any of those losses.
I wanted to ask Keith to show me 10 projects, the top 10 projects that he could do if he had these impact fees.
There's a relevant piece of information that we ought to make sure we're aware of. Okay. Traffic impact fees make up less than 3% of the road fund. 97% of the road fund comes from other sources. So,
but the Sacagawea safety project was $300,000, and we put up those radar speed feedback signs,
which means
we got safety equipment for road crossing guards and put sidewalks up so kids aren't on the street or on the shoulder.
We got that from the state.
So you can do a lot of projects.
Yes, the majority of that was
so
from the state.
Those grants are wonderful.
But we use road fund money, every dollar
from the federal and the state.
But that's instructive. Every dollar of road fund money we leverage to get grants. Mm-hmm. So when you give a dollar of road fund money away, you're not just giving that dollar away. You're giving away the dollar that we could have got from another jurisdiction.
And TIFs are private share match.
And TIFs are especially valuable money.
You're using the word giveaway. We're not, and I understand we're not giving it away, but we're also making the assumption that if only we had a program that would that our economy would respond so well that it was like we didn't have any fees, but we did have fees, then we'd collect it anyway, but so we can give it away. It's circular reasoning, and it's based on a fallacy. And the fallacy is they would have built it anyway, and we don't know that. Okay. What we do know is that this county is growing twice as fast as Oregon and Washington, and something changed because we used to be near the bottom.
Okay. Well, I all I'm saying is that I'm just throwing out some ideas that I
and
think
that's always
create,
okay.
create jobs. So
I like creating anyway, great
the
jobs.
The other two quick items is I got a letter, a couple emails about people complaining about the winery. Some people are being treated differently than other folks. They're not enforcement. It's not.
That's that guy right there. Okay.
Well, so who did you? We sent out an email or we sent out a letter. Is it Wednesday today? Yes.
Well, did you send it out? Okay.
We sent out. Actually, it might have been.
You told me you were going.
Might have been. It was Tuesday, so it was yesterday. We sent out a letter, and I wanted to make sure people got it. So we, I think we sent it out certified mail.
Good.
And it was to three wineries that were in the same boat. And we gave them till September 5th.
These are the same wineries that have used me. They used him, and now they're using you to complain.
Well,
and we've addressed this over the last 9 months.
Actually, I'm glad that you've been responsive, but I probably ought to let you know that we've had every winery here in this building.
At least three times.
And I didn't follow up with anything, David. I didn't call him back. I didn't email him.
And you're passing to the right person because Marty's tuned in here. But I can tell you that the Anna regularly calls the few leftovers that we have. Everybody else has complied. We've got a few stragglers, and they're on track. And if they're not on track, we're enforcing. But we're on it, and we're focusing on making them successful. They do have to do their part. Otherwise, equal application of the law doesn't happen, and it's got to happen.
Okay, the other quick subject is Jeff Swanson and I was sitting talking about economic development, how we could create jobs, which
is great.
The different avenues and that. In the discussion, we were looking at Tom's Railroad, which he loves, up to Slagsy Prairie. I love it too, Tom, to be truthful. And in the process, I discovered in talking to Jeff that there is two gravel areas up at Slagsy Prairie, huge gravel areas that are not being mined. And if we, and Jeff thinks that if we make that an issue with the state and make it an issue with the feds, that we could come up with money to complete the repair of the Slagsy Prairie Railroad, and we could mine the gravel up there and bring it down by rail car, and that way it would take the pressure maybe off of Livingston Mountain and off of Yakult Mountain with the mining. But he says it's already an overlay for gravel mining up there. And so I'm saying to the commissioners maybe we ought to take a look at that, Tom, to see.
I know of one pit up there.
He said there's two big areas.
Privately owned. And
yep.
Just right close to the old mill site.
Yep, that's one.
Up there. It's privately owned.
Yep.
And
the other ones are, too.
And they are operation.
Yeah, very little.
They do work. They have a full-time person there. That's the one that went after our fire marshal, and the fire marshal went and inspected.
But the one area is there's
no fire amongst the rocks.
Yeah, one area up there there's no mining in it. But he said it's a huge.
What is it? 4.5
gravel mining.
4.5 million.
Which we could take advantage of. That's your investment account. Fix your railroad up.
That'd be great.
That says year to date. Is that balance? Fund balance?
Probably share with.
No, fund balance is different.
People that go to.
I think the fund balance is over $8 million.
And
fund balance has assets.
So far, we've
only
been able to make improvements with grants from the state.
This is disposable resources that he can.
Awesome idea.
This is uncommitted cash.
This is the investment account. This is the investment account.
Anything else?
No.
Should be smiling.
I think I've done only. Damage I could do.
Okay.
Things are doing better.
Let me correct the record here on the number of lifeguards at Clineline. There are actually 5 to 7 on duty at any time.
Wow, that's more like
at Clineline. With a lifeguard manager in charge.
And that is the way it ought to be.
Yeah,
it's not overkill.
We have 14.
Seven at one time.
We have 14 on staff, and we have 2 lifeguard managers, and then they rotate. And how many we have depends on the time of day. Early in the morning, we have fewer. When it warms up in the afternoon, we have more. Because when you get a dense pack in there, you got to have a bunch of eyes looking.
Yeah,
yeah, they are. And if you haven't been out there, I would schedule a time. You can call Mark. You can arrange a time to have Patrick out there walk you through and show you and demonstrate. It is so impressive.
Yeah.
So we have twice as many as I thought we had, plus a supervisor. What do we spend out there?
I would have to get
the lifeguard.
I would have to get the budget.
Because I remember when Pete Capel was putting those costs together for us, we were looking at just over $100,000 a season. And if we have that many people out there, I would say that.
Well, but they're not all working 8-hour shifts, so I can get that information.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They already have that money.
And the wages we pay, we're not paying
$12, I think.
Thereabouts.
Yeah.
I've seen it other places.
Oh, I was going to mention something.
Okay.
Mark, I was going to mention
something. Okay, everybody, my turn.
Okay.
I make a motion we do.
You passed me, sure.
You're getting back at me.
You passed me up, did you?
Oh, Marty, I did ask you.
Okay. Just because you were talking about a fund balance, yeah. I'm going to be working with Mark Gassaway on a fund balance policy for 10-11. We've not had one. We do need to look at our obligations for 10-11, which includes work in the permit center, work on plan review, and work on building inspection. So the policy would be something like if, God forbid, the economy just fell off the cliff again, we have obligations to continue. We have building inspections to continue. We would have to continue. We have plans that we need to review. So we're going to need, Mark calls it work in progress. It's mm-hmm. just the inventory of the work that we have that these revenues are committed to
so
have.
All of a sudden the front door stopped. You still got the back door
we
work.
Still have. We still have some time in the permit center that we have to exhaust.
Yeah.
Time in plan review we have to exhaust. And inspections could be, you know, depending on what you're looking at, could be 9 to 12 months. If you're looking at larger commercial projects, residential's anymore 6 to 9 months.
It would filter down because once all the work is done in the office, and the inspection is really small.
But we're looking at, you know, the budgeted numbers that we have and making sure that we have a fund balance mm-hmm. that would cover those expenses for a period of time. It could be 7, 8, 9 months in the aggregate, but it's something that we're looking at because it's something I wanted to look at in 2009, and we didn't have the wherewithal to do it, but
we
something we're looking at.
So
it's good to have.
We'll do that with all the profit we're making now.
It's not profit. It's future obligation is what I call it. It is. It's future obligation.
It is. Financially, to think ahead, plan ahead, make sure you've got the reserves, the designated funds to meet those needs. Smart, smart, smart. So absolutely.
Yeah. And our budget's actually changed since the 13-14 adoption because we've added people.
You got 9 new people, right?
Yeah, and we're adding some project employees revenue positions. Right. So
focusing on making our customers successful, streamlining the process.
I want to follow up on our gravel permits. We're going to find out if the 100 yards that we all thought that we voted for went through.
I see this.
Get to the county
versus the 50 yards.
I'll tell you what it is in a minute.
That we were informed of that we were enforcing, and that had to do with riparian areas, shoreline.
Yeah, any critical areas.
And why would it be different?
Probably because of the state rules on SEPA.
Because the state rule isn't the one that implemented the minimum.
Yeah, let me take a look.
On that. So while you're looking for that. my goal, and that's we're mandated by state, and I don't think we are because that was the county's call. We need to standardize on that at 100 yards. Even 100 yards. It's just a number pulled out of the air.
We look at code and have to have the prosecuting attorney.
So what you try to do, you try to look at how many yards of dirt could possibly affect water flow or shift water direction or something like that.
Well, that would be
create a sinkhole or a soft spot not impacted.
So on the permits required, within critical areas, so you're talking wetlands and floodplains and mm-hmm. geologically hazardous, regardless of whether the site is an urban area or rural area, when grading involves more than 50 cubic yards.
That's our
grading in critical areas may be subject to other federal, state, and county regulations, including SEPA. See, I think
so
the 50 yards.
What are you reading? Is that state?
This is the county code.
That's county code.
Yep.
That's my point.
Yep.
So.
And I think the 50 came from SEPA in critical areas.
So, would you check and see if
I can
it's
check.
SEPA? Because if it's not SEPA, if it's not mandated by the state, I don't see why we can't standardize it 100 yards.
You know, when this came forward, you know, DEEB was all over this, and they weren't looking at going above county or state regulations. They wanted to be at or better than.
There was none. In fact, we just went to 100 yards because we didn't have anything else. There was no standard set there. It was the county that chose that number.
I'll find this.
Okay. Any information on the youth house preparing for the Dolly building?
No. That's Axel's project. I'll light a fire.
Yeah, I was really disappointed when we scheduled an appointment and told everybody we were going to come down there and see it, because I wanted everybody to see it the way it was, not the way they changed it. And I drove by it, what day is today? In the last few days, I drove by it, and they've removed all the storage stuff out of the living room now.
It may be that they listened
to
board time.
It could be.
Because we talked about that last week.
And the reason we brought that up, because they said, well, we need storage room. No, we don't know if we have enough storage room, and yet we have storage room down in the lower building, part of the Dolly building, and their operational could be on top. So what they wanted to show me then was they wanted to show me the operation on the second floor, where they have some little offices up there, and at the Dolly building it would be all in one area to use the three or four cubicles for the privacy areas that need to be done. And then the other thing I see at Dolly building, the prime area is still vacant. It's been vacant for over a year. You probably should talk about that. Something has to utilize that. So, anyway, you told me when the second wave of excess property was coming, and I didn't write it down. We're still working on carry permit. We have salary setting coming.
We will have to get that before the board, yes.
Do you know the date for the surplus lands coming up?
If I had my iPad, I could look it up, but Marty's hogging it.
Hey.
It's at the end of July.
Okay.
Hey,
oh, really?
David,
oh,
I believe it's the end of July.
David, you sent me, or shared with me something from Brimstone Gunsmithing. Do you know what that was for?
Oh, this is the guy who wants to do that. We're talking to that fellow. Out in Yakult, maybe?
That might have been. It wasn't me. That must
have been.
No, you. No, we were talking about that.
Well, I know we were talking about it. I didn't say anything to Tom.
Yeah. I got a copy of it.
What's the address from?
It's to you. It's from Brimstone.
Okay, so they copied you.
Brimstone Gunsmithing up on 397th in Amboy.
So I'm just copied from them.
We're in communication with them.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Panhandling. I see they're really back out in force. In fact, the other day I was down around, I was both areas, so I can't tell you which one it was. They had a huge shopping cart. Maybe it wasn't even a shopping cart, it was so huge. And they had the shopping cart out on the sidewalk, and then they were sitting down on 78th Street, 78th and 99. And then the other guy, Kitty Corner, where the exchange used to be, he had a smaller gathering of personal belongings, and they had camped out there on the sidewalk, too. So,
but that, there's a difference between being homeless and panhandling, though.
Yeah, they were panhandling.
They were holding up signs.
Yeah, one was sitting down, yeah, hanging on, sleeping against their cart, and yeah, the other was holding their sign.
Yeah, I asked Axel about that. He's, you know, well, that's another one of the things on his plate. Yeah. And apparently the ACLU is taking on jurisdictions that are passing these panhandling ordinances.
Okay. We could
and they're winning.
That's okay. So one of the things that we were looking at, Pierce County's, that they have theirs in place. We're using that for a template. But I want something to move forward with it, and don't sit back and do nothing for fear of ACLU might not accept it. And the sheriff is working on this too, so they might have more information on it.
Any sentiment from you two on this?
Yes. Anytime the sheriff or the commissioners want to pursue a policy, to the process is investigative. We learn what we can do in order to solve the problem. And that started with the panhandling thing about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Anytime that process runs into a potential showstopper, like a threat from some legal organization, I assume that we wouldn't just drop it because somebody got scared, but instead we would bring that back to the commissioners and say, here's a threat, here's what we found, and then we would evaluate it, determine whether or not we ought to modify it, address it in a different way, or stop it. But we wouldn't just get stopped because somebody made a call somewhere and it dropped the ball.
We wouldn't make the same mistake, but we wouldn't drop the ball.
Well, I'm not saying the ball's dropped. I'm not saying we put the ball on the shelf and we've forgotten about it.
Well, it's been about a year since we had that. Since we had that.
Busy with other things.
How long has it been?
I don't know. I know it's been on the table since September 11th.
And Ed kept dragging his feet to come to work. So.
Yeah, I don't know how long it was. It seemed like a long time ago. And if we're going to make progress on any project, we would somehow keep tabs on it.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Okay, I got two quick ones if I could.
Okay.
Can I have my machine back?
Yeah. And it looks like Ecology has 100 cubic yards, over there. Unless it's a critical area and that's 50.
And that's where I got the bump back. And so I confronted Benton, and Benton said, I'll look into it. So it's local.
They actually talk about lands covered partially or wholly by water. So you're talking wetlands, floodplains, those kinds of things.
I'm not talking
about that. Then they're exempt.
I'm
you
just
can't
talking.
Not get a, you can't
yeah,
exempt
I wouldn't think so.
Grading
so,
permits from that.
So I think the case that I got in with notified of was that they were just close to the shoreline.
Yeah.
And so therefore we had a minimum of 50 instead of 100.
Yeah.
So.
We can.
I'll ask since that came from
the
Environmental Service.
Actually, it came from Public Works.
Okay.
It came from Public Works.
So Mark, I'll follow up on that.
We'll do that.
Find out.
We can follow.
I think it's in. Might be in. Ron Wieringa might know.
Yeah, the grading code was the lead on that was Development Engineering Public Works.
Okay. Those are the two places to look.
Yeah. It was Sue. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the city of Washougal is hosting a new event. And this, I don't know if you've noticed the people standing on surfboards with a paddle, but apparently there's a big following for stand-up paddling. And Washougal is hosting the 2014 stand-up paddleboarding Salmon Classic on Sunday, August 31st, 2014. It's a new event. They're expecting 1,000 people to come to it. They're expecting a bunch of folks to participate.
That's one that Steve Stewart was going to do the boarding. And since Steve is in here, we're going to have Ed Barnes do it.
They're expecting 150 participants. There are a number of different races. They've got a professional course, and it's 8 miles.
Where are they going to have it?
It's by Captain William Clark Park, Cottonwood Beach in Washougal. There's an 8-mile course, a four-mile course for recreational boarders, and a 2-mile course for youth and for novices, just for fun. They want to occupy the park, and they asked for three exceptions to our policies. Exception number one is they want to authorize overnight RV parking. They want us to waive fees, and they would like to have a beer garden.
So they're going to police it and monitor it.
Yes.
This is what the activity in
yes.
the park.
Yes, it will be well supervised. So Parks gave tentative approval for these three things, but I'd like the board to validate those exceptions. Because this is a moneymaker for our community, and it'll only grow over the years.
I want to make sure that we would treat them the same as we would treat anybody else. For example, if we had the...
we had the YMCA.
All the motorcycle guys.
Motocross.
Motocross.
Yep.
So I want to make sure we treat motocross the same as we treat them.
But I don't believe the motocross people use our facilities.
They don't.
They use private land.
In fact,
so if we did, I want to make sure we would
invite any of you commissioners up to be up there during the Warsuga Nationals that want to come.
Okay. I'm just kind of comparing that with different organizations that might rent other facilities from us, that we treat them the same. I understand
This is a government jurisdiction asking
different.
Us
yeah.
for an exception.
I don't have a problem.
Our sheriff's office patrols that area, right?
Is it city limits?
Well, it is in the city, but it's a county owned park.
So
it's a county owned park.
So I think the city police department would patrol that.
Because what do we call it? Mutual aid.
Mutual aid, with mutual aid agreement.
So we would just hold them more responsible, the city. So they could use their police, hire our sheriffs or whatever do what they think is necessary.
Yep.
We probably should ask our sheriff. Because I know that we have different size groups of people, and we notify the sheriff. Or the winery, for example, if a winery has a...
An event of a certain
event.
Size.
Yeah.
The strange thing is, it's not in our jurisdiction. We own the park, but it's not
park.
In the county. It's in the city of Washougal.
Yeah, it's no
run by the sheriff.
They're gonna have to have their own, management event. Event management people alcohol liquor control board will say you're gonna have to have alcohol monitors and the whole.
Oh, and they've got to apply for the license and all that.
Correct.
So do you think we should ask our sheriff for?
I can run it by Joe Donegan and see what
he
thinks.
How much you talking about, Mark?
How much what?
How much fees you talking about to waive?
Park use.
Whatever. If there are shelters there and they occupy the shelters, I don't know what the fees are for that.
Is
park.
It something you want to promote for? Next year, instead of having 150 people, you want to have 350 come back to Washington and bring money into the community?
That's kind of balance that we're looking at, But we all want to make sure, and it's a government entity, so there's some responsibility. We want to make sure that nothing comes back on the county.
I agree.
Now, the sheriff typically opposes... the alcohol question. I know the beer garden out at the county fair, he was vehemently opposed to that, predicted that all kinds of mayhem would ensue, and
we just want to know if he's still opposed to that.
Well, no mayhem has ensued, we know that. So if I ask the alcohol question, I might get the standard no.
But it is by the city, and so the city's probably have their police.
Yeah,
we'll
this is a sporting event. And I don't typically people at sporting events of this sort. This isn't a football game.
I used to deal with that somewhat with boat racing. We'd have to go to city parks and launch our boats and whatnot. And
it's the biggest economic booster for Warsugal that they have is the motocross race up there every weekend, Warsugal Nationals.
Who owns that land?
Huh?
Is that privately owned?
Privately owned, yep.
Okay.
How big is it?
Commissioner Mielke, Captain William Clark Park has two reservable picnic shelters. Each shelter can seat about 50 people and can be reserved for $50 a day. So we're not talking about waiving a lot of money. But this is an event that will put Clark County on the map. and it'll only get bigger.
That's good.
So,
I like.
Okay, subject to conversation with the sheriff.
If I have a chance to say something too?
Yes.
Okay.
Within the city, we only have two votes over here.
It's within the city limits, and we normally, our standard policy is to not allow alcohol in any of our county parks, correct?
Correct. Okay.
I would think the appropriate thing is to ensure that Washougal, within their city limits, takes responsibility to monitor, to enforce, takes the liability. So they would provide us with some kind of a letter that would say, yes, this is our responsibility. If you're not liable, we are. Is that appropriate?
I'll run it by Mr. Wilson.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And certainly, anytime you have a major event like that, in a little town like Washougal, it helps them. And whatever we can do to be a really good neighbor, to not stand in the way and say no when we really have an opportunity to say yes, this is an opportunity like that. So that, I think we're all on the same page. We wish them well. We wouldn't do anything that would hold them back from prosperity.
But a lot of these people, they won't all have RVs. You know, a lot of them will stay in hotel rooms and and they'll eat in our restaurants.
They'll eat and buy food.
Exactly.
Buy booze.
Okay. If for some reason the idea of having them have a letter let us know. We just want to make sure that there's responsibility and order. And I assume that they're well able to do that, and they'll cover those bases.
Yeah, and there likely will be some sort of agreement between the parks and the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Laying out policies and that sort of thing.
Okay.
All right. One last thing. We have three board assignments where we do not have alternates specified, and I'm going to throw them out there, and then I'll come see you one-on-one afterwards. But the Art Curtis Children's Justice Center, Commissioner Mielke, you're the primary on that. We don't have an alternate. The North County Emergency Medical Services Board of Directors, Commissioner Mielke, you're the prime on that, but we have no alternate.
When you have a good prime, you don't need an alternate. Just kidding.
And that can be the board. And then we have this thing called the Urban County Policy Board. Commissioner Madure is the lead, and we have no alternate. So if any of those are of interest, please let me know.
I would recommend Ed for alternate on that last one, because it's kind of up your alley by your residence.
Just let me know.
That's a good problem.
Just give you a brief update on that. That you would love that. Body.
I can feel this coming now. Go ahead.
What they do.
Sales job.
Once a year, all of the jurisdictions have their own little projects to say we want to build sidewalks, we want to build trails, we want to build a pavilion, we want to be able to improve some housing. And we receive funds from the federal government just for that purpose. And we all take it on a van, a 15 passenger bus.
Yeah.
We tour all around, look at them all, and look at the previous projects they did,
C-Tran
and we
bus.
Vote. No, it's not C-Tran.
I think that might be better for me than it.
You vote for which is the best project.
And we vote, and they add up all of them at the end, and they and
get
county commissioner votes count more than anybody else, because all of them are in the county.
CDBG money.
And
community development block grant money.
And it's a fabulous program, and so many good projects have been built through that. So... No kidding. They only meet in season when they're making that process normally, unless there's an exception or something. And so, yep, you'd love it if you have time. But you might not have an opportunity because normally they're not.
Sounds like he might not let you go if you're just the alternate.
The other quick comment, Mark, August 14th, there's a good possibility that Speaker Frank Chopp will be stopping by here.
Oh, let's have him say hi.
Speaker Frank Chopp, of course, the state legislature, might stop by
when?
Here. 14th of August.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
Great. I expect you'll be showing them all about that East County Bridge.
you can hit him up for the 450. You can hit him up for the law.
Actually,
change the law.
You're making an assumption. You're making an assumption that both states will have to come up with a big lump sum of cash. I don't think that's necessarily true.
This comes Are we with, done?
This comes with financing.
Okay.
Hold on. Thank you.
Thank you guys for putting
I saw that in my coupons.